If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Just let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
He's one talented Negro.
Could you die? Excuse me, could you die? Could you die? Could you die? I could die. Could you die? How cute that is.
Can we steer away from gay people?
Standing on.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration at all.
And he bangs that one through.
All you have to do if you have, you know, one good finger is you just use your finger like this, okay, see? And it just goes like that, and you put it here like this.
Look out from behind, and down he goes.
He looks like he's handling that area pretty well tonight.
And now.
Are you ready?
I sure am. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Our feature presentation.
That's a party getting ready to start right there, huh?
Yes.
You bet.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32, and it is Tuesday, the 13th of Blovember.
Look, I'm not happy with a lot of things that this administration has been behind in the last 6 years. I mean, you can certainly, I think anybody, no matter how much of a supporter you are of the president, can point to certain things, certain points along the line and go, well, I sure wish we'd done that differently.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to say 100% job approval.
Okay. Well,
big thumbs up from Kevin.
Yeah, that's fine too.
How could anything go better?
But I think we can all agree, and I don't care how far to the left you are or how far to the right you are, I think we can all agree that when the United States government is inviting Psycho Mike to the Pentagon, then we've got trouble as a nation.
I agree. I don't know how this came down. I want to double check and make sure it is. I think he's just taking a day off.
I think he's got a job interview is what I think is happening here.
Oh, my God, no.
Psycho Mike
did not happen.
Psycho Mike came in one day, I don't know, last week, and said, hey, guys, I want to know if this is okay. The Pentagon wants me to come talk. And we said, that's funny. He said, no, the Pentagon wants me to come talk. Now, who in the Pentagon, how does this come about?
You get a call directly from General Petraeus, or
no,
what happened?
No, RAD, which Rockers Against Drunk Driving, does speeches and events at aircraft carriers and at the Pentagon and places like that.
And you would consider yourself a rocker?
I guess. But
it doesn't take
he
anything.
Works here?
Apparently, it doesn't take anything to be a rocker. You don't have to rock. And I like that.
Yeah, you just work at K-Rock. Okay. That's the only criteria, I guess.
So who do you speak to when you go to the Pentagon?
Troops. There's going to be like a bunch of high-ranking troops at this auditorium in the Pentagon.
But, Mike, how much time do they have to have you speak? My God.
That's a great question.
Aren't they busy
they know
with something?
How you talk?
I negotiated that, too. I said, listen, I ain't going to go out there and even crack the mic open unless you're giving me 3 hours. It's not happening.
And that's just to introduce yourself.
They're going to have to remove him from the podium because he won't shut the F up.
I think we need to lock Mike in a closet in order to save this country.
I think so, too.
I think it's come to that.
So you're going to go there. You're going to be in a big auditorium. There's going to be troops. And you're going to say...
I'm going to say, listen, drugs and alcohol are cool and all.
And don't you want to be cool?
But just hide it from your commanding officers if you know
that's your message?
You. Yeah.
Seriously, how long will you speak? Because it's an awfully long flight to and fro Washington, D.C.
You know, I haven't decided that yet.
I don't. Well, I'm sure they'll decide for you.
You're gonna say
it? Oh yeah. I mean, as any good speech giver does, you get a basic outline, key points, and then you kind of build off that. You don't want to sound too robotic.
Sure.
So, for folks who don't know, Mike has been in recovery for a number of years, had a pretty serious drug and alcohol problem, and now part of what he does is goes around and tries to tell people how he got clean. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of recovery for everybody. After a certain time, you go to other meetings, and then you start to talk to other addicts and stuff. And then if you're any good at it, they ask you sometimes, you know, counselors and stuff will ask you to come to bigger events and talk to people, and then it just kind of goes from there.
And you've built up to the Pentagon.
How many names do they go down the list of people they want to speak at the Pentagon they hit you? You've got to be, you know, seriously, how many people are there in America?
About 300 million?
300 million. You've got to be in the 299 million range.
And there's a lot of actually important and actual people of celebrity status that'll be there, and I kind of am just there to fill the void. I think that when it comes to talking about drugs and alcohol, That's maybe the only thing that I speak well upon. There's brevity.
This is going to be. You know what's going to happen? Do you want to say what else? The other.
That's shocking. That rocks
Tell
me to my
what?
Core.
Tell me what.
Yesterday, I found out that none other than a Mr. Gene Simmons will be going with me.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Are
you serious? Yeah! Yeah!
You mean he's flying to D.C. too to go to the same event at the Pentagon?
That's right. He's trying to speak to the troops and let them know that after 30 years of banging 40,000 women, never once have I imbibed alcohol or any other drug.
That's true. He doesn't drink at all. That's right.
It's unnecessary. It kills your mind. What do you get out of it? What benefit do you get out of it? Now, do you think that women find it attractive to watch you drooling and mumbling like a moron? No.
Now, is he going to fly coach on Southwest with 14 stops between here and there, or does he have his own plane?
No, I fly the KISS G4 jet.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you have room for Psycho Mike? I'm sure he'd like to.
I will fly with my lovely wife, Shannon.
I'm sure he'd like to come along if you're going there.
I will fly with my Shih Tzu, Little Gene, and that's it. That's the only people I fly with. But you can buy your own G4 KISS plane at kissarmy.com. It's $4.8 million.
By the way,
that's a bargain. $4 million for a G4.
Yeah, no
Fantastic.
Kidding.
Fantastic.
Do they send you a ticket, or are you on your own? You have to pay for that.
No, yeah, everything's
taken
care of.
Yeah, that was, you know.
Wow.
I know. I can't believe it either.
Okay, you know, the K-Rock microphones were there the last time Mike gave a speech. And as a matter of fact, we caught up with one young lady who had been in the audience.
Thank f***ing God! This has been the longest, dullest, most uncomfortable thing I can remember ever doing. I really thought I was going to die of boredom.
Well, so you can tell. Early reviews are in and they're good.
Wow.
I'm paying him. What did I offer you? $1,000?
Yeah.
$1,000 for him to say at the very end of his speech, thank you, everybody. Good night. Rumsfeld sucks. And then turn and walk off. Just shout it out. He's not there anymore. What are they going to do? I'm sure there are plenty of people there who hate him.
Yeah.
Rumsfeld sucks.
I know, but the slapstick comedy, Pentagon's probably not the best venue for that.
All right, I'm just saying. Being to toss in some money?
Well, Rumsfeld I kind of agree with Mike on that you're kind of a guest in their house. You
right,
know what I mean?
He
you
is.
Kind,
we're
kind of play by their rules.
They can disappear, Mike. I don't know.
Right. Yes. What are you people missing?
I see.
That Mike would find himself waking up in Afghanistan tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking. in a uniform.
He'll be shouting at him. He'll be going, how did this happen?
Right, exactly.
Last thing I remember, I was giving a speech, and then somebody put a rag over my face.
And I'll tell you something else about Psycho Mike. I'll tell you why he's so happy today. He's wearing a suit because he's heading right for the airport. And he's going to use that to show me what game is all about when his little girlfriend Haley from Paramore comes in today. Mike's got his eye on her, you know.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to ask her about the dollar.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure he is. That's the opening line for anyone that knows what they're doing.
So I'm going to be sitting back and watching Mike and see how it's done, since apparently I blew it with actress Rachel Nichols. We'll see how Mike does with Haley today.
Why do you wear a tie and a jacket in? Not only into work, but on the plane there. You're not speaking until tomorrow, are you?
No, but I do have a meeting tonight to kind of go over, do a run-through and stuff. Uh-huh. And like I was telling Lisa, if I'm going to pack my stuff, I don't want to pack like my formal wear. I might as well wear that. It takes up less space, and it won't get all wrinkly.
You and I are very different people.
I know.
Oh, yeah. You could say that.
I would pack every bit of it.
You
wouldn't
pack a suit.
I would get it out like a second before, and it'd be the wrong pants.
You'd forget it.
And then I'd wear my shorts.
Exactly.
Hey, if they want me at the Pentagon, they'll take me like I am.
There it is.
Apparently, they don't at all. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We have Paramore in studio, as Bean just mentioned.
Great.
Playing night one of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Mm-hmm. We have Anna Faris. She's got a new movie called Smiley Face on today's program. We have things that you did to your friends when they passed out.
That's always good.
We can do that probably every other week.
Yes.
Yep. And with our audience, they are fascinated with people who pass out, and they do bad things.
Well, you'd think that there'd be a certain number of people who would look after their friends if their friends are incapacitated. But if there are, they're not in our audience, or we haven't met them.
Oh, that's no fun.
Our people look at it as an opportunity to just screw with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brandon Flowers will be on the program today. As a matter of fact, just after 6 o'clock.
How about that?
Talking
nice.
About a new killer CD called Sawdust. And so we'll get to all that stuff. Plus, we have tickets for you to go to K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, night number one. And you're going to play a little game today to try and earn it.
Okay.
And it will involve – I don't want to give too much away, but it will involve stumping Rodney.
Ooh, interesting.
What could that mean?
I can't tell you more, but that's coming up this morning.
All I know is that Lisa May is already in bed last night at 8 o'clock and her phone rings. And it's producer Lighting going, Where are you? How come you're such a stick in the mud? Why aren't you any fun?
You're not
when did you die?
Apparently she
missed the greatest night in the history of Hollywood entertainment. Is that right, Ralph?
Well, she is a loser. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Everybody who was anybody was there last night.
And everybody who was anybody.
Yes.
The stars rolled out for
Sam. The stars
Sam.
Did roll out. Okay. And it was quite the event, quite the evening as we watched the world premiere of Born High, the Armenian comedian story on the big screen last night.
It's a documentary that's very well done and quite funny.
It is the greatest thing, by the way, that has ever happened to Sam.
Oh,
not
yeah.
only because it's a movie about him, and you know he loves things about him.
He loves him, right.
But these two guys who co-directed and produced this documentary make him such a likable, sympathetic character. That he is much more likable in this movie than he ever has been in real life.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that.
Really?
You do feel, and I think I said this yesterday, you, as much as I hate Sam, you find yourself rooting for him to succeed because of his never-ending puppy dog enthusiasm he has for his life.
Yes, and his wife is a saint, you find out in the course of that film. Just remarkable. But it really is an entertaining little movie, so hopefully you'll all get the chance to see it someday, somehow on DVD or something.
Yeah, what do you think's going to happen with it, Ralph? Last night there were some potential distributors in the audience, right?
I think if they were smart, they would just take it to what they call the festival circuit, which is the film fests, and have a bunch of critics and producers and stuff get a chance to see it, because
That's
I really think
idea.
It could succeed on a, you know, on a pay-per-view basis or on a cable channel like Sundance or something like that. I think it could do well with some exposure on television before it went to DVD. I doubt it'll get a theatrical release, but it really is quite well done.
It's funny because I thought it was a couple of Yahoo listeners who put something together with their, you know, their Hi8 camera or something like that. And these guys are actual filmmakers with talent.
Well, they're both. They're Yahoo listeners. And
everybody who's anybody starts out as a Yahoo with a camera, you know.
Right, and then, true. That's Spielberg you, included. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you build it up. But the guys did a great job last night. It was a very fun event. So I'm glad Lightning and I were there.
I'm glad you were,
to the
too.
Rest of the morning show who decided to, I got to play cards with Ray Romano. I can't come tonight. Oh, no, I have to express my dog's anal glands. I can't come. No, I have to get troops off of drugs. I can't tell. F you all. F you losers.
Well, in Kevin's defense, he had seen the movie.
Yeah. No, but he wasn't there for the event.
I'm telling you that it hurt me every second. I was thinking, wow, I should be there.
Sam's big speech beforehand.
Shut up.
You missed that. He got up on the stage with a big microphone that was about a foot higher than his head.
Excellent.
And he had to pull it down so he could talk, and then he had turned it off when he did that so no one could hear him afterwards.
He's anti-technology.
Thank you all for coming, you all my fans, and I love you. It's just he went on and on like that.
Was there enough booing?
No, there was
no booing.
Cheers
just
and
cheers.
Applause, and
wow.
I'll tell you, the movie's got plenty of genuine laughs.
It does.
Lightning and I were talking about it afterwards, like, do you think we like it so much because we know him? If you didn't know him and you watched this, would you find it as amusing? And I really think you would.
I do, too. It's hard for me to judge, though, because I love
it. Did you ever see the movie, what the hell is it called? I think it's called American Movie. About two guys in Wisconsin making a horror movie.
No.
These two lowlifes who decide they're going to make their own horror movie. This guy's been trying to make movies forever, and they're just complete idiots.
It's great.
But
great movie.
You can't help but feel, like, again, for these guys because they're just so passionate and so dedicated to their dream of making this movie. And I think it has that same kind of feel where you just really root for Sam.
How did they keep all his hateability out of that movie?
I have no idea. It's a cinematic miracle.
Wow.
Because it's not smell-o-vision. That's part of how they did it.
How dare you.
Ralph, I have a quick question. Did he cry again during his speech before?
He did not cry before. Okay. No more crying. It was all smiles last night.
Well, good times. We will keep you posted as to the fate of that movie. And if we know that there's an opportunity you have to see it, we'll definitely let
By
you
the
know.
Way,
I'm glad the K-Rock audience enjoyed it last night.
Yeah, they turned up in droves. We were at a packed house last night.
I want to put up a line. I want to put up a K-Rock.com. I think that'd be cool.
So you can stream it?
Or?
So these poor guys can't make any money?
Let's wait and see if they can sell it first, Kevin.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with waiting. But I'm saying if nothing comes of it, let's put it on the site.
What are you, a socialist?
Like
what are you? What are you, a communist?
What are you talking about?
Trying to keep a guy from making a buck? Just cross the picket line while you're at it, Kevin.
Why don't you go work for your girlfriend, Ellen, the communist? Why don't you go do that?
Yeah.
It's 5:51 Tuesday morning. Brandon Flowers. See, because she crossed the picket line. I don't know if you've seen the news. Brandon Flowers from The Killers joins us just after 6 a.m., which is an ungodly hour for a guy in a rock band to be up.
Hey, it's not rock star time.
That's right. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of the strike, it's already starting to fall apart for the writers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some writers for The Young and the Restless, guild writers who work on that
very popular soap opera, have decided to cross the picket line in order to save their jobs.
Oh.
They're going to have some hassles from their brethren. That's yes. for sure.
Yeah, you don't stand together on one of these things. And
if we don't hang together, we will most surely hang separately. Thank
Somebody
you.
Should
Thank
have said
you.
That
Good
at
night,
one
everybody.
Point in
Good
history.
Night. Yes, I think someone did.
Oh, I think it was Ben Franklin.
Lindsay Lohan has a new goal, according to the Daily Star newspaper.
Whore!
Lindsay wants to learn how to be a human magnet.
What?
She wants to be a human magnet.
What does that mean?
It means that she is enlisting the help of Aurel Reinelu, who is a Romanian, who promises to teach Lindsay how to use the power of her mind to lift heavy objects.
Verdict, mind-blowing.
What?
This is her goal in life now?
He claims he can lift the heaviest objects simply with body magnetism.
What?
She says, I've always been interested in off-the-wall abilities, and this is a really interesting phenomenon. I'd like to find out more about it and try to pinpoint what causes these supernatural abilities. I think someone's been watching Heroes too much.
No kidding.
Yeah. She needs to start drinking again is what she needs to do.
Too much free time in her hands?
I think so.
Yeah.
Phenomenon.
She's going to lift things with her mind.
Yeah, that's what she needs.
That'd be cool.
I think she's going to lift with her mind as her skirt.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I clearly understand that.
Apparently, Lindsay has the ability already, a superhuman ability, to bring grown men to tears.
Uh-oh.
Fox News reports that she was shopping at the H&M clothing store last Wednesday when a 50-ish man approached her and asked for a photograph. She obliged. And he was so overcome with emotion that he started sobbing right after the photo was taken.
Oh, that's so
he was so thrilled.
A guy in his 50s.
Yes.
Oh.
Was so thrilled he was crying.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yes.
Wow.
This is the greatest photo I've ever taken with Lindsay Lohan.
Wow.
Yeah. Unreal. Justin Timberlake may not be that into Jessica Biel.
What's wrong with him?
He's Justin Timberlake.
But she's Jessica Biel.
I know. But here's the thing. If you're Ralph Garman and you meet Jessica Biel, you've hit the ceiling.
You take what you can get.
You're done.
Big deal.
You're
right.
Finished. This doesn't get any better. You're Justin Timberlake. Here's the thing. Apparently, when he was in Australia, the Jessica wasn't around, he was spending some, let's say, quality time poolside with one of his female backup singers. Apparently, he is acting like a single man again, and Jessica Biel is fed up with it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, she'll be back on the block again soon. Speaking of people who are single again, someone hold down Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, no.
Star Magazine is reporting that Kristen Bell.
Oh, no.
Has split up with her producer boyfriend, Kevin Mann, recently.
Oh.
Yay!
She's trying to keep it quiet, according to the magazine, but officially, friends are saying the couple grew apart because Kristen's career took off and Kevin's not so much.
She may be trying to keep it quiet, but believe me, Dave knew about this like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did he?
I think they had just hung up the phone with deciding to break up, and Dave was texting everyone he knows to let them in on the secret that she was single again.
Go, Dave.
Yeah.
Make
your
move.
You know how he is.
Dave, we're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you. I'm in love. I'm in love with Kristen Bell.
Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now. Ralph, did you see last night's Heroes? A little Kristen Bell cleavage?
What is he, 7?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he is.
What do you say, Dave? Dave, what do you say?
Thank you very much for coming on the show with us.
Good. Good, Dave. Here's a cookie. Freaking retard.
Dave, why do you think you can get her?
I'm just rad.
All right.
Yeah. Dave, what color clothing would you wear if you're going to go on a date with Kristen Bell?
Orange?
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Bad choice. Nice.
That's a good choice. I did not see Heroes last night. I was busy at the screening of Born High. I was watching a major motion picture last night, so I T-voted.
Kristen looked fantastic.
I have not watched it yet.
Everyone
fantastic.
Dies.
Everyone dies?
Oh, everyone dies. Yes, last episode. It was weird.
Hey, who's the 1970s TV cop in the back of the room, by the way?
Psycho Mike.
Oh,
Psycho Mike in a suit?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Looks like one of those cops from the streets of San Francisco or something.
He does. Know,
got his tie undone. Looks like he's in the middle of interrogation. You're not leaving this room until I get a confession, punk.
throw the chair?
Yeah. Extra in the sabotage video from the Beastie Boys.
Oh, Lordy.
Heather Mills, this story just keeps getting better. Remember I told you earlier this week that she was going to represent herself?
Yes, please.
In the bitter divorce battle with her soon-to-be ex, Sir Paul McCartney. Well, it just took another ugly turn. According to the News of the World, Britain's most popular tabloid, she is threatening to release 10 audio tapes which will detail her sex life with the former Beatle.
Ooh.
Some of the recordings include Paul calling Heather, and I quote, a one-legged bitch. Well, man's telling the truth.
That is accurate.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Tapes also, according to sources, reveal that he took Viagra. Well, dude's 64 or whatever. Yeah, that's not unusual.
Yeah.
She claims this allegedly will make fans see Paul in a very different light. Oh, yeah.
So what, she was secretly taping him?
Yeah, I don't know. Where
what
she
audio tapes,
do
you have of that stuff?
And by the way, no matter how much people dislike whatever Paul McCartney did, they're still going to love him and hate you,
that's
Heather.
True.
That's the moral of this story.
Yeah.
He's got 40 years of goodwill built up as opposed to your none.
Yeah.
Right. When you write, I want to hold your hand, come back and talk to me.
Yeah.
Interesting TV news. Even in the light of the writer's strike, Daily Variety magazine reports that FX cable network has picked up the Glenn Close series damages for 2 additional years.
No.
Wow.
Really?
Now we just find somebody to write it.
That's
we'll
a good show.
In good shape. And on a lesser note, the E! Network has greenlit a second season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So we got more of that to look for.
A much lesser note.
I watched this latest episode, and they actually say at the beginning, these real events recreated. So they're not really pretending anymore that they're actually filming what's happening. They're recreating.
They're just making it up.
Yeah,
and then
pretty much.
That's just bad.
Yeah.
A second season of that show. I couldn't watch a second episode of that show. Well, you are not a winner.
That's true.
Apparently. That's what it is. And here's an interesting development. Radiohead's new album, which they offered for a download at a pay-what-you-want price
right.
on mm-hmm. their website, will be released on CD on January the 1st.
Oh.
They made a deal with ATO Records, which is owned in part by Dave Matthews. CD In Rainbows will officially be out on the band's own label underneath the ATO Records umbrella called TBD Records. The question is, who will actually buy a CD now that Radiohead has already offered the full album as a digital download for name your own price?
Good question.
Old people, that's who.
Maybe. Old Radiohead fans?
Yeah.
People in their 70s who love Radiohead?
No, not necessarily, but people in their 50s who may like it, who don't download music, I think, is probably all that's left.
Maybe this piece of information changed Radiohead's idea about releasing it on physical CD. An independent research company determined that over a 4-week period, 62% of the folks who downloaded the album paid nothing for it.
62% paid nothing.
Right. You know, it's like pay what you think it's worth.
Right.
Yeah.
They just downloaded it. They didn't pay anything. 62%.
Which Radiohead made available as an option. I mean, they certainly knew that was going to happen.
38% plunked down about $6. That was the average for what they paid for it. So, not a lot of money in that right now, apparently.
But I wonder,
that whole pay what you want thing.
But I wonder if you take out like what a band makes that they have to give to the record company and everything else, I wonder if they made enough per CD that it was worth it.
Per download?
Good
point. It's possible. Take a look at a celebrity birthday, shall we? Joe Mantegna. Say hello to my little friend. It's not the same guy?
No, oh. It's Tony Montana.
Oh. Joe Mantegna, the actor, is 60 years old today.
He couldn't have been happy about his 49ers last night in Monday Night Football, I'll tell you that.
No, that's he not could not
either.
Have been.
That's not him either.
Whoa.
It's Joe Montana.
They got blanked, didn't they, last night, the Niners?
They
24-0?
They're a terrible team in a terrible division.
I saw they were playing. I didn't watch.
Yeah, not much of a game last night, except for Bean, who was Seattle. So.
Oh, sure.
Whoopi Goldberg is 52 years old today. What's her number again, Kim? Whoopi Goldberg's?
I think it's 323.
Right?
No, please don't.
Can't remember.
No.
Please don't.
Chris Noth, who played Mr. Big, of course, on Sex in the City. He was also in Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be in the Sex in the City feature film. He's 51 years old today. Neil Flynn, the actor's name you may not know, but you probably know him. On Scrubs, he plays the janitor on Scrubs.
Sure.
How great is that guy?
He's great.
He's hilarious.
Very, very funny. So I thought I'd give him some love. He's 47 years old today. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, is 39 years old today. If you missed Rescue Dawn,
in theaters.
Pick
it up on DVD. It's a brilliant film and a great performance by Steve.
Lisa wanted to see it, but she was asleep that night at 7:30.
I'm in bed because The Bachelor is having the reunion episode.
Hell. And Jimmy Kimmel. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm. Former talk show host, that guy?
Former talk show host, Jimmy Kimmel. Is 40 years old today.
So he's a fag.
Oh, come on.
For God's sake.
It's so funny. Everybody is in this movie, this Armenian comedian movie. Everybody's in this movie except for Jimmy, who's only seen in clips from his own TV show. Adam Carolla gives a lengthy interview, and they interview Scary Perry from the Windy City Heat. Kevin's all over it. I'm in it. Lightning's in it.
By the way, I'm not in it at all.
Your voice is in it.
You do see him hitting Sam in the balls with a golf club.
You do see him with a golf club.
That's ancient footage from
from
like the Burbank days when we all worked at K-Rock together. But you'd think Jimmy would sit down and give these guys an interview about the biggest fan in the world of the Armenian comedian is Jimmy.
Hey, he's the one who kept Sam's career alive through the lean years.
Conspicuously absent. What if they had a falling out?
I doubt it.
Because Jimmy stopped using him. You know, they only used him for the early on in the first season of the Jimmy Kimmel Live show.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Maybe it's like some sort of a Paul McCartney, John Lennon fallout.
Oh, I hate to see those two.
Me too, because those guys deserve to be working together.
They're magic together.
They really are. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Paramore, who's going to be in our studios later this morning. And Serge Tankian.
Nice.
Details on ticket on sale coming soon.
And Psycho Mike, your plan is to win Haley over from Paramore today and take her with you to D.C.? Is that what you're going to do?
Whether she likes it or not.
All right. We are waiting. We are standing by. And at any moment, we should be hearing from Mr. Brandon Flowers from the band The Killers. They apparently are on tour in Australia. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning there. But they're looking for him. And we may have him soon. But it gives us a moment to remind you that the floodgates are open. The entries are pouring in for Miss Double December 2008. We just announced this on the show yesterday. And it's that time of year again. Ladies with big boobs, we need to hear from you.
Such a great time of year, isn't it, just because of this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Boop.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
What could get hard? Who could that beep be? I don't
know. Clay?
Nothing we're allowed to say on the air. I'm
clay
sorry.
Can get hard. It can
cheese if you leave it out. Cheese can get hard.
Yeah. Bread sometimes.
Bread sometimes, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to figure that out.
Any of those things.
Yes.
So we have the entry form at KROQ.com in the Kevin and Bean section. And once again this year, we have questions that we have asked of the ladies because we want to, you know, get to know you. It's I know you find this hard to believe because it's us saying this, but it goes beyond just how you look. We do want to make sure the personality is compatible with the Kevin and Bean show. You guys would agree with me on that, right?
Just barely, though. just a hint of personality.
And here's what I love because we're talking about – well, we're doing it bigger this year, I think, for Miss Double December. We're talking about doing a live pageant, which I guess is coming up in a couple of weeks, and just like on the beauty pageants on the TV, we're looking for talents. We're looking for things that you can do, something you can perform. And I don't know if you've seen any of the early entries, Ralph.
I have not yet. No, sir.
Here's Chanel, who enters, who, by the way, her nickname is Chesty McBooberson.
What?
She can sing, draw, touch her nose with her tongue, and cook. Those are her talents that she mentions.
All right, then.
Here's another one. This is
Can't you run on a treadmill while making drinks while painting?
Here's Tawny, by the way, 28 from Buena Park. Her talent is she can put her fist in her mouth, which makes her very popular.
Oh, very nice. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's Rachel, 25 from Irvine. She can dance. I think I'd like to see that very much.
Dance.
Here's Courtney, 21 from Fullerton. She kicks ass on a stripper pole. I mean, these are here's Sarah. She is from Rancho Cucamonga. She can deep throat a beer bottle. That's her talent.
Oh, my God.
That's
so we got some. I think you can see. We got, and, of course, photos accompany that. And I'm not sure. I haven't been to the website yet. But I guess the plan is we put them all up. And then what? The audience votes on who they'd like to see in the top 10 so that they can come down and see them live on stage, right?
That's right.
It goes right through the 30th of this month.
The top 10 vote-getters will be performing at the pageant and be performing their talents live in front of our studio audience. And we'll be taking votes all morning long. And the number one vote-getter will be crowned at the end of our live show, which we'll be doing with the Miss Double D contestants.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. And, of course, you win tickets to both nights of this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to the Weenie Roast next year. We have plenty of Kevin Bean live events scheduled for 2008 also that you will be a part of. You will essentially be the pretty face of the Kevin Bean Show. You represent us, and that's really what you're shooting
Holy
for. So go to K-Rock.com. Go to K-Rock.com if you want to.
I'm looking at the photos of some of our contestants
right now. We got Brandon on the phone.
Whatever with him.
I frankly don't care now that I've seen these pictures.
Sorry, Lady McShow Killer. Why don't you just call in on time? We'll talk to you next time. All right, Brandon?
We're talking about
cans right now. We're looking at boobs. Boobs beat killers.
It's 6:13 of the Kevin and Bean Show. Today's a big day in the music store. Of course, the Killers are back with a sort of an unusual new collection called Sawdust. And we are very excited about this because, as you know, the Killers are one of our favorite bands here on K-Rock. And we're happy to welcome live on the phone from Australia, Brandon Flowers. Hey, Brandon, good morning.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going fine. What's going on in Australia at your time in the middle of the night? What are you guys up to?
We just got done playing in Melbourne.
Fantastic. Now, is Australia one of those places that's great for you guys to go that you look forward to?
Yes, especially this time of year. It's almost summertime here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And the fans here are very good to us, and so it's exotic enough, and they speak English, and so we like it.
That's a pretty good deal. Well, let's talk about this Sawdust. You know, it's surprising to me that you guys have done two albums already and had enough songs left over from those two sessions to already make a new record. Tell me about where these songs came from.
Some of them are songs that either we didn't think were good enough to be on our albums or didn't fit in at the time, and some of them were not. There's three new songs because, you know, we tour so much that we don't get to record as much as we'd like to, so we took it upon ourselves to record a few new ones, and that was really fun for us. And then there are also, you know, some covers we've done for soundtracks. It's just kind of a buffet.
I guess a lot of this stuff has been available, you know, in Europe and places like that as B-sides, and there's some rarities and stuff, but it's good to have all in one collection, and it comes out today.
Yeah, that was the idea, because, you know, we don't have singles in America the way they do, like you say, everywhere else, and so a lot of Americans in particular aren't going to know about these songs.
Right. Now, Brandon, when you say that some of the songs weren't good enough, they didn't make the cut for your first two albums, did you put them on as is, or did you go back and fix them up to a point where you were happy enough with them to now release them?
Yeah, we did. We touched up a couple of the songs. Even the simple thing is just having it remixed, and, you know, because it really can, you know, have a big effect on things. And so when I look at it, I think in 10 years when when I go to buy this album or whoever I am, I don't think I'm going to look at it and think, oh, this is just a B-side album. It really, it's actually holding up, you know, when we play it.
I read an interview with you where you were talking about the song that you did with Lou Reed and how you kind of felt like, how could you not have seen that? Should have made the album at the time.
Yeah, it's funny how, like I said, when I said we felt like they weren't good enough at the time. You know, it's funny how you go back and it's shocking, you know. We feel like Tranquilize is one of our, you know, better songs.
Right.
We're really happy that it gets to see the light of day.
And I may have gotten a bad copy of the CD, but I'm pretty sure that I was listening to your phone messages on the 7th or 8th track or 9th track.
Really?
I guess, yeah, that one's called Show You How. We really like that because that's we didn't used to have cell phones, and when we first started the band, and I would have an idea at work or wherever I was, and I would just sing into Dave's answering machine, and that's how all these things that I've done was started. I was at work and I sang, you know, help me out, yeah, you got to help me out, into Dave's answering machine, and so that's a kind of an example.
Yeah, it's a creative way. It's a creative way to start a song, too, because you hear the message being played back, you hear him singing it, and then they kick into the music, and they actually...
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
very
awesome.
Cool.
Very cool.
We are talking to Brandon Flowers on the line from Australia. The band has just played in Melbourne. The album that we're talking about is called Sawdust, which is a great title, by the way, when you think about it. And I think we have a couple of tracks. Hang on one second, Brandon, because we want to go through just a couple of the tracks. We have some clips for the K-Rock audience that has not had a chance to hear this yet. What do you have first, Kevin?
I think this is a new song, Shadow Play. And it was recorded at Samstown Sessions in 06, but I believe this is a new one.
Now, that's your song that's on the soundtrack of the Joy Division movie, right, Brandon?
Yes. And
I was just curious because there's so much of that soundtrack, of course, is Joy Division music. There are just a couple of songs from outside artists. I was wondering how the Killers were picked to be one of them.
I think what it is, we're the only band that did a cover. All the other songs are originals. It's mostly Joy Division songs, you know, and then there's a couple of David Bowie songs and Iggy Pop and... Anton kind of he just picked us to be the band that he wanted to represent at all, and we're really honored.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And so that's his favorite. That's his favorite song. So we did it. I think we did it justice. I'm really happy to be a part of all of it. You know, we love what became. You know, we love New Order and Joy Division and mm-hmm. Anton. So
here's a song called "Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll."
Good stuff. That sounds awesome. Again, from the new CD called Sawdust, available today. And I think we got one more clip.
Yeah, this is Move Away. I think it's safe to say you're too picky about your CDs, dude. These are good songs.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, Brandon, last question for you. I loved your Christmas song that you recorded last year, Great Big Sled. I noticed that did not make this album. There was some talk that there might be a new Christmas song for 2007. Did anything come of that?
Yeah, I have this fascination of maybe making it a Killer's tradition and eventually having a Christmas album. We give it all to the Red Campaign, and we did one this year too, and it's called "Don't Shoot Me, Santa."
Don't shoot me, Santa!
I can't wait. That sounds awesome. Well, the album sounds terrific.
Thank you.
Sorry, we have a bit of a delay because he's in Australia, so you've got about
a
2 second delay.
Anyways, last year was a very sentimental Christmas song. This one's a lot more fun. It's very fun. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely going to be worth seeking out. You can get that, of course, on the iTunes with the proceeds going to the Red Campaign, as Brandon mentioned. Brandon Flowers on the line from Australia. The album out today in stores and available for download. Sounds fantastic. It is called Sawdust. Brandon, I hope you and the new baby and the wife and the whole band has a fantastic holiday season, and I hope we get to see more of you in 2008.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Thank you, Brandon. You guys remember when South Park did their show on Tourette's that I so loved?
Yes.
Of course, because you wish you had the Tourette's.
Cartman
just like Eric Cartman, because you can say anything anytime you want, right?
Yeah. He was in the toy store. There was a kid cursing.
Ma'am, is that your son over there?
Yes, I'm sorry. My son has Tourette syndrome.
Tourette syndrome?
It's a neurological disorder. He can't control what he says.
So we started taking some phone calls from people who have Tourette's, and we found out that the people who curse are a very, very small minority of people who have Tourette's.
Yeah, so it was disappointing.
It's more like facial tics and vocal tics, and I think I've discovered that Psycho Mike has Tourette's.
Oh.
Really?
Yesterday during a Showbiz report, I'm not sure anyone else noticed it, but I turned and looked at Mike, and he gave me the I don't know what that was hand signal. And I just want you to listen. This is Ralph talking about whatever in his showbiz, and then at the end of it is Psycho Mike's Tourette's.
So a million made last weekend. It's just a monster hit.
A juggernaut.
It is.
Did you guys hear that yesterday?
Yes.
What was that?
It kind of... Let me hear it again.
All right. strangest thing I ever heard. I turned around and looked at Mike like, what? That's not his normal, someone's hot.
I've never heard him make that noise.
Right?
So a million he made last weekend. It's just a monster head.
A juggernaut.
It is.
Is he clearing his throat or something?
Mike?
No.
I don't know what to tell you. I honestly don't know what to tell you. I was drinking tea, and it was super hot, a lot hotter than I thought it would be. And right. So I took a sip, and it startled me in my mouth. And then I went to swallow, and it went down kind of the wrong tube. But I could have easily...
Hang on right there. Don't say anything else.
That's what she said.
Thank you.
Okay. Continue.
Sorry. Tie Ming.
I could have easily swallowed it and not made that noise, but for some
That's
reason...
That's what she said.
It was just some visceral reaction, and I looked at Kevin immediately. I was like, sorry, I don't know where that came from.
You kind of sound like, yeah. You kind of sound like a horse who's like snorting snow out of his nostrils or something after a walk around Central Park.
Now here it comes.
Just a monster head.
A juggernaut.
It is.
So I thought maybe the way to do it, because I don't know how to identify what that was, is to slow it down a little bit and see if we can gain any new insight into what's happening.
So a million they made last weekend is just a monster, a juggernaut. It is.
That's a bear with Tourette's. Psycho
Thanks,
Mike.
Thanks, everybody. Suck my b-
Yes, banjos, yes.
Banjos are back in a real
Can't
way,
wait.
People.
So excited. That is Feist on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. I believe if I have the schedule right, Kevin, that Feist will be here tomorrow performing live on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's correct. Yes, they will.
And I also believe Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine will be here tomorrow performing live on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
I think we've got the 1-2 punch tomorrow.
Which one is one? Which one is two?
Well, I think you know the answer to that. It's 6:42 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't get these people, but there's a certain segment of the population that loves to go check into hotels and stay in rooms where famous stuff has happened. For instance, the Hard Rock Hotel down there in Florida where Anna Nicole Smith overdosed. They had to gut the room. They had to tear it out and renumber everything because they had too many people who wanted to come and stay in the room where Anna Nicole Smith died. I don't get that.
They knew
but apparently, if someplace is famous like that, it will draw a crowd.
They knew it was room 607. The people did. So people would go ask for room 607, and they had to completely change the numbering system, take out all the furniture. I don't know why.
They don't want that kind of notoriety?
Yeah. But here's the weird thing about Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is a city that'll take advantage of anything.
Absolutely.
Sure. And the Palace Station, which most people aren't all that familiar with. It's not on the strip.
Pretty low rent hotel. It's the kind of place I stay at when I need a room.
Yeah. And room 1203 is the latest buzz because that's where OJ broke in and tried to steal his memorabilia back with a gun, and that's what he's on trial now for. And they're saying, we don't want to exploit this. We decided that it would be in, quote, poor taste.
Is what? Anything poor taste in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas?
The answer's no.
So they say they've taken that room offline and you can't get into it.
No
because
kidding.
They don't want to capitalize on something bad like that.
So no matter how big an OJ fan you are, if you want to go to the room where he allegedly, you know, burst in with his guys waving guns around and get his memorabilia back, you can't stay there right now.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, we got to find out about this. So we asked the producer Lightning to line the juice up. And I think we have Mr. OJ Simpson on the line with us right now. Good morning, OJ.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
We're good.
Well,
thank you.
We're fine. Where are you?
Hear that.
What's going on behind you there, OJ?
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, you're there for the trial, right?
No. I'm here looking in some business investments.
Oh, okay. What kind of business investments?
Well, I heard about this thing, the Palace Station don't want to let people stay in the room.
Right, the 1203 where you broke in with the weapon.
They're not going to let people stay there.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's correct.
I heard people coming into that hotel, slapping down a black Amex card and saying, charge me whatever you want, just let me stay in that room.
That is accurate. Yes, people are willing to pay far beyond the regular Palace Station's rate just to stay at that room. You're right.
That's crazy that they don't take those people money.
You'd think, right? It's Vegas, for God's sakes.
So I'm starting my own hotel and casino.
Oh, in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm looking at some properties now.
Okay.
And soon, in a couple months, you'll be going to Simpson's Palace.
I don't
really.
Simpson's Palace Hotel and Casino, Jay.
I don't think a lot of people are going to want to patronize a business that you're a part of, OJ.
Every room, 1203.
All room 1203. Okay.
All rooms are going to be called 1203.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's going to be hard to find your room.
True.
When you come home.
That's very true.
But you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you want to stay in some place, you know, that I've robbed something out of, I will come to each room personally and rob you.
Is that right? Wow.
Something you offer, huh?
And in the suites, the high-end suites, I'll kill your wife.
Oh.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, that's the kind of service I offer at Simpsons Palace Hotel and Casino, Jay.
Wow.
And we're going to have everything that all the great Vegas hotels have.
Okay, so...
we'll have all the games. You can play Black-A-Rat.
Okay. Black-A-Rat,
not familiar
right.
with that one.
Or Really Blackjack. We'll have the poker room. We'll play Texas Kill'em.
Wow.
We got slit machines.
Oh.
Well, if you get 3 severed heads, you win the jackpot.
Yeah, I rented that over the weekend, by the way.
Wow. No, slit machine, that's a different movie. Oh. Different movie.
Or you get to drive around in the Al Cowling Bronco and then land on some money. It's going to be great.
Wow, you got plans. Well,
we're going to have Bingo J, Keno J.
It's quite unique.
It's going to be an amazing time in Vegas.
It sounds
you
like
You want
it.
Food? Go to the all-you-can-kill buffet.
Wow. Hmm.
Where the food is live, and I give you a hunting knife,
really?
And you get to cut the throat of your own meat.
How many people do you think are going to want that experience?
Everybody. Everybody's going to want to come to the Simpsons Palace Hotel and Casino, Jay.
Well,
and where do you see the entertainment?
Who's going to be there?
Cirque du OJ.
Okay.
where beautiful women, acrobats, are suspended above the audience.
Uh-huh.
And you get the knife and you get to cut them as they go by.
Okay.
That's going to be fun.
Why does there have to be so much murder at your hotel, OJ?
I just like it. I like murder. I like murder and stealing things with a gun.
Right.
And that's the theme. Every hotel casino in Vegas needs a theme.
Okay,
mine's
that's yours then.
Killing and robbing.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. How long till it opens?
Look, most casinos in Vegas rob you anyway. At least I'm honest about it.
That's true. You're right up front.
So come play some Really Blackjack at Simpsons Palace Hotel and Casino, Jay.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning.
Before I get to the showbiz news, a real quick email I have to read you from Eric Bressler, who has read my mind. Gents, you must get Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck on your show.
Yes, I agree.
Preferably live in the studio.
Yes, I agree.
She's exceptionally hot and Australian.
She's a CIA chick, right?
Yeah. Always a great combination. She's already been on and I missed it. Have her on it again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Thanks. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Eric Bressler. Eric, you're absolutely right. I meant to bring this up to the fellows. I think we need to talk to young Ms. Strahovski as soon as possible.
That's so hot.
Because I like that Chuck, too. I like the show.
It's a good show.
Very entertaining.
Yep.
Adam Baldwin is just great. I love him. He's the NSA guy who also works
he's good
with
too.
Chuck. But Yvonne is just diabolical. So we should talk to her. Maybe even Zachary Levi, who plays Chuck on that show.
Probably all available right now.
Yeah, they got nothing to do. They're not making any TV shows.
Hey, remember when you were doing that show? That was great.
It is the second week of the writer's strike. As you know, I've been following closely the chants being used by the picketers in front of the various studios. And thanks to the KROQ listeners for keeping an ear out for me and sending them along to me. This is a new one from Greg in Los Angeles. Heard it when he was driving by Warner Brothers the other day. We're here. We're writers. Get used to it.
No.
Yeah. That doesn't even make any sense.
No. Well, it's obviously a playoff. We're here. We're queer. Get used to it.
No. No.
They're trying to be funny.
See, there's a little spin.
I don't know.
And this one comes from one of the staff members who works on CSI New York, which, of course, stars Gary Sinise. Very talented actor, Gary Sinise.
But you rhyme with Sinise.
Well, you don't.
Oh.
Today, on location shoot, picketers were chanting, "Lieutenant Dan, you've got no legs."
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
What does that have to do with the writer's
Nothing.
Is it a reference to without a script he can't?
I'm guessing some sort of tangential inference there. Yes, that's what they're trying to say.
Seems like that takes a little too much work.
I know, guys. I got it. I've got the chance. Remember that movie that Gary made 20 years ago where he played a character in a wheelchair with no legs? Let's reference that and say he's got no legs. And by legs, we mean support from writers who are writing his scripts.
Yeah, let's do that.
Good.
Pick up the bullhorn.
Done.
I drove by CBS yesterday and rolled down my window specifically so I could give Ralph a new chance.
What'd you hear?
They weren't saying anything. I think they just gave up.
Lazy strikers.
They realized they're no good at chants.
Now, let me ask you this, Ralph. The reason they chant, the reason they march, the reason they stand out in front of the studios is to get on TV, to publicize their plight, right? Because
yes.
clearly the people, the suits behind the desks in those buildings know that the writers are on strike. That's
they,
not it.
They are, yes, they're trying to raise the profile of their cause, but also they're trying to harass the employees who are going in and out of the studios.
The studios, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because there are people
make them feel bad.
Still working. Yes, they want those people to know that you know, they are not supported.
Are there writers that are still working?
Well, here's the interesting story that comes out today from Variety newspaper. Several WGA writers have decided to cross the picket line to keep their jobs on some daytime soaps. This is the first official reports we've heard of defections from WGA membership. Several people are going to write for The Young and the Restless over on CBS, and they've announced they're giving up full membership in the Guild in order to continue writing during the strike.
Dude,
now, the WGA has formed a special committee to handle information about strike breaking, but no word on what repercussions these people will face.
I'm just going to send out OJ.
I have a friend who is really good friends with one of the stars of one of the soap operas, and they were talking about how the writers for soap operas really feel like the very bottom of the food chain in the Guild.
Yeah.
They don't ever...
Here's the thing.
They don't feel like they've gotten a fair shake.
They don't see any residuals either, because soaps don't rerun.
Oh, you know, I guess that makes sense.
They don't really have DVD sales
all year long.
Like
they don't sell DVDs.
They
so
haven't been happy all along.
They don't have much of a vested interest in what the Guild is fighting for in this particular strike.
What?
They're going to lose their money. Plus, a lot of soaps are in danger of being canceled. For the first time in a long time, daytime dramas are at an all-time low in terms of ratings. And these guys fear if there's any interruption in the course of the broadcast of these shows, that a lot of the networks will decide just to can them.
And what's going to happen when the strike, if the strike is settled?
That's the thing.
Them.
What happens to them in terms of their standing in the Guild? That's what still has yet to be determined by the Guild. So, but this is really the exception.
Yeah,
there's very few reports of WGA writers crossing the picket lines. So.
Is there any way that we can take off to show support for the Writers Guild?
I think we should. I think we should say, we're here, we're on the radio, get used to it.
Right. But I mean not be on the radio. I mean just not show
we're
up
here, we're not
until
on
the strike
radio,
is settled.
Get used to it.
There you go.
Say, Lieutenant Dan, you have no ears. And see, we'll be talking about like our thing. It'll
right.
be different than their thing.
Uh-huh.
Kate Hudson's just a whore.
What? Who is she
oh,
dating
yeah?
now?
She's just banging everybody.
Whore.
Or is it she broke up with Scruffy McLongbeard
Owen
from that
Wilson?
Band?
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Black Crowes guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
she's a whore.
Him,
okay,
so she went to Owen Wilson.
Right.
Then
that's
Dax
right.
Shepard.
Dax
yeah.
Shepard.
Then
right.
Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And now, according to the New York Post, she's dating Heath Ledger.
Whore.
Nice score, though.
Reportedly, the two had a hot date Thursday night. Word is the two hit up the trendy Beatrice Inn restaurant in New York City and did a lot of kissing.
There's a word for that. I think it's hooker.
Yeah.
I think it's lucky.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
don't
Lisa.
Let him drive, by the way.
Oh, Lisa.
Heath Ledger?
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Why? What did he do with driving?
Yeah, what's the
I
driving reference? Wasn't Heath Ledger the one in the accident that he walked away from that TMZ
no.
had?
No,
it was Orlando Bloom.
Same thing.
Same
guy.
Oh,
same
thing.
Guy.
Not
sake.
Even close.
They're identical twins.
Do not
wrong with
help.
Who can tell the difference between those
do
two?
Do not be on my side with your helping. It just ruins everything.
I mean, this is Heath Ledger.
Oh.
Okay? That's
right.
What that
okay.
is.
And this
right.
is Orlando Bloom.
Oh.
Very different. Brad Pitt comes to the rescue of Angelina Jolie.
What happened?
Apparently, they were on the red carpet of the British premiere of her new movie, Beowulf, which I'm going to get a chance to see tonight, by the way.
Oh, good.
So I'll be able to talk about it for the movie.
Or as Dave says, Beowulf.
Beowulf. And she was wearing some super hot, sexy, tight black leather pants.
Oh.
Right.
I saw those. Yeah.
Which split right up
yes,
the
did.
Seam in the back, up her ass.
Oh. Wow, so they were really tight.
They were really tight. And Brad stepped in. And put his hands over her butt as she walked down the red carpet.
Well, why would he do that?
Because he doesn't want you looking at his wife's ass.
Well, then
you know she's not wearing underwear.
Yeah, true.
No,
I would have done the same thing. Only I would have used my pelvis to cover up the hole in the behind her in her black.
No, keep doing interviews.
Her,
so everything's
her black
good back
leather
here.
Pants. I said, oh, don't mind me.
Zip. I don't get it. What was the zip? What does that mean?
Supermodel Cindy Crawford and her husband Randy Gerber. Like to play sex games, according to Star Magazine.
Yes.
Go on.
The couple enjoys role-playing in the bedroom.
Tell me more, Professor.
Randy Gerber reportedly likes his wife to dress up like a...
Yes?
Cowboy.
Catholic schoolgirl.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I don't sound sexy.
That's your Blovember story right there.
You know what? Oh. I think she is gorgeous.
I do too.
I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person. I think so, the only thing I am worried about is getting a boner.
Yeah.
Getting a boner.
Talk about aging well. She is ageless. She is just.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Is.
Oh, yeah. I would amazing. Do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
She's been encased in amber.
Yeah.
She's like a fossil. No, time's not touching her.
Yeah.
She looks good for her age.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, and compared to other women her age, mm-hmm. she wins.
She wins. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's hot.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Mantegna.
It's not the...
Oh, Joe Mantegna, talented actor, who I saw this weekend at that Eric Idle play that I was at, too. What About Dick?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Billy Connolly and Eddie Izzard. Very, very funny show. He was in the audience. 60 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg. Actress? Oscar winner actress, but Oscar winner.
I know.
That's the one they'd take back if they could. I mean, if they really could take one back. Don't you think that'd be it? Yes, I'd have to say yes. 52 years old today. Chris Noth, who was Mr. Big on Sex and the City, also on Law & Order. He's 51 years old today. Neil Flynn, who plays janitor on Scrubs. Very, very funny
so funny.
Guy. 47 years old today. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, is 39. And Jimmy Kimmel, our old pal Jimmy Kimmel, reaches the big 4-0. Little Jimmy's all grown up.
Oh.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. He's
still... I, as a broadcaster and a sports professional, can in no way condone this.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Took Us to Christmas 2007. A little game we like to call Stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam.
Good morning, Rodney. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
No, it's Kevin
Call
and B.
In now
Rodney, I'm right over here.
The latest from Brian Wilson's new version of Smile.
No, we asked you to come in because we want to give away some tickets to that night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. You know who's playing this year, Rodney?
All right, Foreigner.
No. Linkin Park, Angels and Airwaves.
ABC.
No, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion.
Bananarama.
No. Nope. Rise Against, Serge Tankian. That's the lineup. We want you to help us give away tickets.
Robert
People are going to call.
Palmer and Power Station.
No.
Power Station.
They are going to call, Roddy, and they're going to ask you any question because, let's face it, you've been around since the dawn of rock and roll. You know everything about every band. That's your thing on your Sunday night show. So they're going to call and try to stump you with trivia questions about the bands that are playing night number one, okay?
Cindy Lauper.
I don't know what that means.
Lisa, I'm answering a question.
No idea.
Can you keep
106.7 sure. Rodney and the Rock Show?
Keep track for the drawing because Rodney doesn't tend to get a lot
thanks
of them right.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't forget, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Okay.
Get that turkey.
All right, Rodney.
Make a wish.
Can we take some calls?
Wishbones. Call it a wishbone.
Can we take some calls,
you
Rodney?
Crack it in half and wish for more turkey.
Carlos?
Okay.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
You're on the radio.
Hi, Carlos.
My question is, what city is the band Paramore from?
There you go. That's a great question. They're coming in next hour, too, Rodney. You know that one, right?
What city is Paramore from?
Right.
Jay Giles Band.
Well, that's not a city.
That's...
Jay Gilesville.
That doesn't make any sense, Rodney.
Jay Gilesburg.
Is it Jay Gilesburg?
No.
No?
All right, what is it?
It's Franklin, Tennessee.
All right. Franklin, Tennessee, sure. Okay, hang on. You are in the draw. You have managed to stump Roddy. That's okay, Roddy. That's just one call. We got plenty of other people that want to talk to you.
All right, let's go to Wilson.
Rodney and the Rock Show.
Nope.
Listening to
Rodney?
Coming up, Gary Newman.
Let's go to Wilson.
Got a new single.
Wilson in Chatsworth. Good morning.
Good morning, and gobble.
Yeah, don't do that. All right.
And to you as well, my friend.
Stump Rodney.
Hey, what was the name of the high school that Mike, Brad, and Rob attended?
From Linkin Park
High School.
Yes, from Linkin Park.
Okay.
High
Roddy,
school.
Hometown Boys Made Good. What school did they go to?
Bronski Beat.
It's not a high school.
Bronski Beat High School.
No, there's no Bronski Beat High School.
Bronski High.
Wilson, was it Bronski High?
No, not close. It was Agoura High School.
Agoura High. There you go.
You didn't say that. You didn't say that.
All right, Wilson, you are also in the drawing. Hang on. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call and stump Rodney, Summer is on the line from Montclair. Summer, stump Rodney. Go ahead with your question about one of the bands on the bill.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I was calling to see what lead singer taught at UCLA.
What lead singer also taught at UCLA?
Oh, here we go. All right.
You know this.
Lead singer also taught at UCLA.
I'll give you a hint, Rodney. Longtime K-Rock band. Great live performance.
Smart, smart guy.
Greg Kinn?
Who's Greg Kinn?
Greg Kinn, the Greg Kinn band. Breakup song.
No.
Na, 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 na.
No. Summer, who is
Summer?
It?
Summer, was it Greg Kinn?
No. The lead singer from Bad Religion.
That's correct. Yeah.
You don't know Greg's name, right?
Mr.
Have you? No, Bad Religion. She just told
you. We already
you.
Answered that.
Oh.
Right, hold
okay,
on.
You're in the drawing, Summer. Thank
Billy
you very
Idol?
Much.
All right. Let's go to Alex in Lawndale. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Devine and lovely Lisa May.
Hi, Alex.
All right.
Stump Rodney.
Here's my question. Which recent band did Tom DeLonge play in before Angels and Airwaves?
Ooh, Tuffy. A Tuffy.
Loverboy.
No.
All right. Working for the weekend.
Rodney, are you familiar with any of these bands? Don't you play some of these K-Rock groups on your show, too?
Yeah.
Alex? And why don't you know anything about them?
Paul Hardcastle.
Alex, is it Loverboy or Paul Hardcastle?
It is none of those, guys. The answer is Blink 182.
That's correct. Blink 182. Oh. Remember that band, Rodney? Blink?
Mike and the Mechanics.
No.
Why do you just say random band names?
All right. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Jan. He is on the line from Buena Park. So far, Rodney, everyone has stumped you. Let's see what Jan's got for tickets for the Acoustic Christmas Show. Go ahead, Jan.
Hey, good morning, Rodney. Hey, all the Acoustic Christmases were at Universal except for two. Do you know either of the other venues?
Either of the other venues.
Ooh, that's
venues.
A good question. Interesting.
I, in my alcoholic haze, can only remember one other one.
Seriously?
Two other venues, I think.
I remember one.
Venues.
I remember both.
Acoustic Christmas. Always Universal.
Men Without Hats.
And what?
Haircut 100.
Those aren't venues.
Those are
bands.
Places where you can have a concert, Rodney.
Jan, is that correct?
Negative.
Negative.
That would have been the Shrine or the Pond.
All right. Ultravox.
Oh, that's right. The Shrine, when we thought the balcony was going to collapse on everybody.
Yeah, the vapors.
Totally. Why do you say, the vapors?
We're turning Japanese.
We're having a conversation about a venue that we had Acoustic Christmas at.
It's all right,
coming
listen
up on
up.
Thanksgiving.
All right.
Carlos, Wilson, Summer, Alex, and Jan are all in the running. Lisa May is going to do the drawing. One of you will win a pair of tickets to night number one of the K-Rock Almost Good for Christmas, December 8th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Lisa, who's the winner?
The winner's Carlos in Burbank.
All right. Carlos.
Hey.
You win.
All right.
For asking about Paramore's hometown.
All right.
And thank you for playing the world's greatest game.
Yeah, wigwam pair.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 29 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I don't think I want to know what that's about, to tell you the truth. Paramore will be here. Anna Faris will be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Feist, by the way, performing live tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think we're also supposed to mention that if you've been waiting for details of night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, that's going to be tomorrow morning at
Who's
this time.
The band?
Well, we'll tell you tomorrow morning. 24 hours from right now, you will know the answer to that question, Psycho Mike.
Here's a hint. It's a different night of shows.
Oh.
How about that?
Interesting.
Not to give too much away.
All right.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's new.
We have a certain kind of audience, and we can do certain kinds of topics more than most radio stations. And our kind of audience is the kind who, when they drink hard and one of them passes out, the rest of them, they feel it necessary to play pranks on them. And not only that, to take it a step further, the person who passed out would probably be disappointed in them if they didn't.
Absolutely.
Is that how you justify your behavior?
That's absolutely the case. You wake up, nobody did anything. You go, what are you guys doing? You're not paying attention.
You're dropping the ball.
Right.
Absolutely. I totally agree. This topic came up a couple of weeks ago on a late in the show, Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew phone call. I think we got a call about something that this guy and his friends had played on another friend.
So this guy
past weekend, one of my friends, he gets piss poor drunk. Sure enough, I work in the construction industry, so I had a batch of 5-minute plaster, taped up his hand a little, and made it seem as if he had a cast. Woke up the next morning screaming.
Screaming, trying to figure out what it was. The guy actually put a what looked like a cast on his arm.
That's
how great
amazing.
Is that?
Amazing.
That is awesome. That's very good.
And he woke up. He was like, what did I don't, it doesn't seem to hurt. I don't know what happened. What happened last night? You know, you don't remember. You're freaking out. You got a cast
How
on
long did
arm.
They, I don't remember. How long did they make him continue to wear the cast before they let him
get out? I think it was 24 hours or something. I don't know. Not that long.
Were we on one of our singles parties on a boat? Do I have this completely wrong where former sports guy Money passed out and somebody drew a penis on his face?
Oh, yeah.
Or you have it completely right.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Yeah,
he was upset, too.
And he, you know, if I recall correctly, he woke up and thought, wow, I feel like crap, and then walked around for a couple of hours before he even realized he had a penis on his face, right?
Yeah, no one was telling him.
I mean, that's first class. I mean, that's the least you can do, don't you think?
You say he was angry. I'm telling you right now, had nothing happened, he would have yelled at us because we weren't on our game. We weren't doing what we were supposed to do. You don't let an opportunity like that pass.
Well, I think his wife had told him to please not get out of control at the party, and of course he drank and drank.
Well, she should know better than that.
When he came home with a penis on his face, she knew what had happened.
A bit, sure. She didn't know all of it. But.
So we're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067 because you are Kevin and Bean kind of people if you've been involved in doing something like this to your friends when they passed out. However, having said that, and we are looking forward to your calls, that doesn't mean you have to forward us funny pictures of things that happen to people when they're passed out. Doesn't mean we need to see them.
Bean
no?
at krock.com.
No, those have been well viewed around the internet. There's
laughs.
No need to send those out again ever to anybody.
So make him happy.
You want to take one real quick before we take a break? Because we got Jeremy to kind of get us started on the line from Garden Grove. Jeremy, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Were you the drunkie or the friend of the drunkie?
No, I was the host of the party.
Okay.
All right.
We threw a party. Guy got drunk. He left his shoes on, so we pretty much shaved his pubic hairs and then put toothpaste around his face and gave him a pubic hair goatee.
Pubic hair goatee, by the way, is the only band we're going to tell you about night number two.
They are playing and they're very good.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, Mike did that too. Psycho Mike did that to a guy.
That's
oh, did he?
Yes, that's known as Abraham Lincolning someone.
The Abraham, but were they your great pubes, Mike?
Well, see, that's the question, Jeremy. Is you have to do it with somebody that'll gross him out more than himself.
Jeremy, that's a great trick, and I commend you for going to the old classic, but you do need to use you and your pubes and your friend's pubes, so it makes it even more of a burn. You don't use the own guy's pubes. You use the collection of the group that you're with.
You know what
like in Jackass 2.
Yes, use a what they call a pube conglomerate.
Who are also playing Acoustic Christmas Choir on the side stage.
All right, thank you, Jeremy, for the call. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll take your calls next.
And they're here, by the way. They're in the next room. And apparently Haley's wearing glasses today.
Yeah.
Looks super cute.
Yeah, better to see me with.
Oh, for God's sake.
By the way, Psycho Mike in a suit today. He's going to show me what it's like to have actual game. After my debacle with actress Rachel Nichols the other day, Mike's going to show me how it's done. He's going to close the deal with Haley from Paramore, apparently,
sure.
Next hour.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to happen.
In the meantime, it's 7:42 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, well, you pretty much have to do it. You're out partying, and one of your friends passes out drunk. You can't just leave him there. You've got to screw with him. You've got to give him something to make the night memorable when he wakes up.
That's right.
And those are the calls we're looking for. I mean, if you shaved off eyebrows or if you drew a penis on somebody's forehead, whatever it is, 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call right now. We'll take your call.
All right. Let's begin with Danny, who is calling us from Manhattan Beach. Good morning, Danny.
Morning.
You did the right thing when your friend passed out and did what?
A couple of us took 3 rolls of duct tape and duct taped my friend straight to a palm tree.
Nice. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Well done.
Now,
well done.
How long was it till he woke up?
He was there about 4 hours before he woke up. Pretty much he was wearing like a duct tape like bodysuit.
Oh, I bet that felt good getting it off.
Yes.
Oh, it went around, like, we had pictures, and it went around the school for, like, about a year.
I so would have had a lot more to drink before I had you take it off. I needed to get smashed before you start ripping that off.
We were drinking while he was sitting there debating on how long he'd, like, stay, he'd be out cold till he woke
nice.
Up.
See, that's our people right there. You're our people,
Thank
Danny.
You. Thank you for the call. Let's go down to line 6. We've got Frank calling from Santa Monica. Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Hey, Frank, what'd you do to your friend?
Good morning. Yeah, it was my friend's bachelor party, and we got him wasted. When he passed out, we dressed him up like a cheap hooker in a mini skirt with lipstick, checked him into a hotel, and Then nobody answered their phones the next day. His fiance had to come pick him up.
Wow, I like that. Take it at the extra step of turning off your cell phones and not helping him.
Yeah.
That's good.
So he wakes up, and it takes him a minute to realize that he's alive, okay? And then he gets up, and he goes, I'm in a hotel room I have no knowledge of coming to. I don't know why I'm here. And wait a minute, I'm dressed like a hooker. That has to have been the best.
Yes. Yes. What really happened last night is the question that goes through your head, and you start... You know, worrying if the police are going to come.
Yep.
Although you should have made his ass sore somehow, too. That would have, the only thing that could have made it better.
Psycho Mike, you happy about that? Bob in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello, Bob.
What did you do?
Hey, it's called The Flying Squirrel. It basically involves stretching the scrot across the face like a mask.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of playing pranks. I don't know that I need to be doing that.
Is that his scrot or your scrot?
No.
Well, no, the passed out
guy on this guy's
you'd
face.
You have to bend him a lot.
Well, not his scrot. Lisa. You put yours on his face.
Needing clarification.
Well, I'm just saying.
But how does he know about it? If he's passed out, how does he get to enjoy that magic? Pictures, video?
We started videotaping it.
Nice.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Also known as bubblegum facial. In some parts west of the Mississippi.
Let's try Jason on line 5. This is an oldie but a goodie. This is a classic. It's a standard. You've got to do this at least once in your life. Hi, Jason. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, so listen, I was in the Army, and one of our guys was going home for a vacation time, and he was the guy that pretty much got everybody in trouble. So the last night he was there, we shaved his eyebrows, and with a permanent marker, gave him the biggest unibrow I think anybody's ever seen ever.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then that's he had
how,
to go home.
That's how Corolla got his, by the way. He never washed it off.
That's true. Still there to this day, made of marker. Thank you for the call. Let's take let's take one more. Let's go to Alan in Walnut, although this call scares me. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Lisa May.
Hi, Alan.
What'd you do?
Well, basically, I was the victim in this situation.
Oh.
And, we went to a graduation party, and I basically passed out like around 2 in the morning. I woke up the next day. I have glasses. So I woke up the next day, and my glasses were filthy. I'm like, why are my glasses so filthy? And I'm like tripping out all day. And then finally, one of my friends showed me his camera. So basically, one of my white friends, he pulled down his pants, and he was like wiping his butt all
On your face.
Oh, my God.
The worst part about it, since he's so white, he didn't wipe right, so
okay.
He had a freak mark on the back of him.
All right,
it was the wiping.
All right, good.
At the end, I had a pink eye.
He had pink eye.
Seriously?
He got pink eye.
My left eye had pink eye. I had to go to the doctor to see what some.
And what did you tell the doctor happened?
I tried to keep it anonymous.
Sure.
I tried not to let him know because it's pretty embarrassing.
Dude, the guy used your face as toilet paper. You understand that you can never, ever take that away. That happened, dude.
Yeah, he wins. And you lose. Thank you for the call.
Ralph, your birthday is what, Sunday?
Saturday.
All right, I'm running out of time. Yesterday, I told you about the great eBay item that I tried to get for you, the Batman punching bag.
Yeah,
I didn't get for you because I got outbid.
The bop bag that I've longed for a long time. I had one as a small child.
Oh,
but at least he didn't tease you with it and then tell you.
And then I wasn't. He told me what I wasn't getting for
right,
my birthday.
Right, yeah.
Would you like to know what else you're not getting?
Sure.
What is Ralph not getting for his birthday this year? When Bean gets screwed out of, we all want to know.
You were this close to a brand new mint condition, price tag still on it, $6 million man lunchbox from 1978 with a thermos.
Wow.
But what happened?
I know.
Wait a minute. So he's not getting that.
Not getting that. That is an item that he will not be receiving from me for his birthday.
I'm not getting you
weekend.
That as well.
Wow. Oh, great.
I just wanted,
thanks, Bean.
Wanted you to know
it.
Something else that you're not going to get, but I did
I
try.
I appreciate it.
And I got outbid again.
Bean's good that way, yeah. What did it go for, Bean?
Is he getting this year? We can't wait to know. couldn't go with here to rhyme with that jingle.
I can't explain the jingle. It went for $154.50.
About the same as the last one you got outbid on. So
that's the $6 million.
You're saying Ralph's worth less than that.
He's got a $150 cap.
He does.
Anything over that, I am screwed.
They all go to $150 and one penny, and he's out.
It's out.
I'm trying. I just want you to know. You may not get anything from me at all, but at least you'll know that I made the effort. So.
Look, effort is twice the gift that I expected.
Well, mine's in the mail, dude. So
is
I don't
it?
Know. Yeah,
here's the mail?
I don't know when.
But you don't know.
Gonna get here. Yeah.
Actress Anna Faris, also the band Paramore. That's the 8 o'clock hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph, the man without a $6 million man lunchbox with thermos. Mm-hmm.
I spent over $1,000 for my Batman lunchbox with thermos.
Wow.
Seriously?
But it's mint condition with the tag still on it.
Yeah. You're those crazy people that we talk about every once in a while. Who's got that much money, that much time? Who could throw it away on something like that? That's you.
That's an investment, my friend.
Oh, not that you're going to sell
it. Coming back threefold.
There's no.
It is an investment.
Please.
It is.
Are you going to sell
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Look, if times get rough, if we get fired the way I expect we will in the next couple of months.
Very soon, yeah.
I may be selling that for food stamp money.
For like $199.
Exactly.
While you sob.
For a clearance sale. Everyone's going to go.
Ralph's next job could be Ralph's eBay shop.
That's
you don't know,
right.
man.
Yeah. How greedy can they get? They won't even share the net.
Okay.
See, now
that's
we're talking.
Not bad.
Now
that's
a
bad.
Chance.
Okay, a little rhyme there.
I want to thank a listener for sending that one in. Apparently, the Writers Guild of America strikers are stepping up on the chance a little bit. They're coming up with something that actually has something to do with the strike itself.
I like it.
Because it is about internet revenue streams, of course. Some of the other rants, chants rather, I've been sent in. We're here. We're writers. Get used to it.
No.
That's
no.
not nearly as successful.
No.
And my favorite one by far today was sent to me by someone who was working over on CSI New York, which, of course, stars Gary Sinise, who, of course, played Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Way back when, yeah.
And the strikers are chanting, "Lieutenant Dan, you have no legs."
Well, what does that have to do with the writer's strike?
I'm not quite sure. I think it might be a threat against him physically.
Wow.
I think they might be threatening to take his legs. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm impressed that he, even with no legs, was able to become a cop. I mean, that's what's remarkable, is he's out there with the CSI team solving crimes. Dude can't even walk.
Just don't even.
Yeah, no one bother.
Well, he made a lot of profits from Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. He bought himself some legs, Bean.
Okay. I didn't hear that. That's good news.
That'll be in the sequel.
You don't buy that.
The WGA strike continues this week, and people talking about the fact that the first of the strike breakers have crossed the picket line. Apparently, some writers for CBS's The Young and the Restless soap opera have informed the WGA that they plan to continue to work in spite of the strike, which is not making the WGA happy.
I'm sure.
But so far, defections are still very much the exception to the strike that, at least so far, has generated widespread public displays of solidarity amongst writers and directors and actors as well. So, keep you posted. But.
Striker has a tail!
Tail.
A different kind of
strike. Different kind of strike.
Oh. Sorry. Lindsay Lohan wants to have superhuman powers.
Okay, either she's joking or she's gone bye-bye with this one.
The Daily Star reports that Lindsay has asked Oral Railanu,
what?
Who is a Romanian psychic, to teach her how to use the power of her mind to lift heavy objects.
Oh, my God.
How could there be a story with the words Lindsay and Oral in it and have it be this lame?
Apparently, Lindsay is ready to part with a significant chunk of her dwindling bank account for lessons after she contacted Railanu through Facebook.
Wow.
She tells the Daily Star, "I've always been interested in off-the-wall abilities, and this is a really interesting phenomenon. I'd love to find out more about it and try to pinpoint what causes these supernatural abilities."
Wow. Look, no one can move objects with his mind. It doesn't happen except on TV and in the movies.
Bean, you are not familiar with Romanian Oral Railanu.
I guess not.
Phenomenon.
It is an interesting phenomenon.
Verdict, mind-blowing.
Do you think Lindsay just wants to be able to lift a bottle of Stoli with her mind and be able to pour it into her mouth?
From the outside of the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, "I didn't touch it.
I didn't touch a drink. It just fell into my mouth."
Oh, that's what she said.
Nicole Scherzinger,
liars,
of the Pussycat Dolls, tells an interviewer in the November issue of the European edition of Maxim magazine that as a youngster she was, wait for it, shy, uncomfortable, unattractive, unpopular. And she didn't blossom until she found music, which brings out her true self and helped her gain confidence. Nicole, by the way, is on the cover of the magazine wearing nothing but a pair of underwear and her hair.
Well, all right, then.
So, listen, ladies, supermodels who keep telling us how geeky and miserable you were in high school and how you were a loser and you had no dates, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Because there's those of us who have to live our entire lives that way.
There's no change.
We never got the second act. We didn't come back after intermission and all of a sudden we're stunning, okay? Most people live long, long lives just like that. So don't expect any sympathy from us. Nicole Scherzinger. Word coming in about Dr. Donda West's death. She, of course, the mother of Kanye West. Apparently, she passed away last Saturday at the age of 58 due to complications from several cosmetic surgical procedures she was having.
Oh, no.
Including liposuction, amongst other procedures. Reportedly, she was warned about the dangers of these procedures because she has some heart conditions. And the doctors were saying, if you go under, there's a chance you could suffer a heart attack.
I heard one Beverly Hills surgeon refused to do it until she got medical clearance, so she just went to another doctor.
Wow, that's rough.
Yeah. So, there you have that.
Yeah.
That's very sad. 58. Too young to die for something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently Kanye loved his mom, too. He was very close to his mother. She raised him as a single mom since he was 3 years old and dedicated a song to her, so I'm sure it's going to be tough for him.
By the way, I also heard that breast reduction was part of what she was having done, which is just another reason to add the long, long list of reasons why you should never, ever consider that, ladies. It will kill you.
God will take your life if you try to reduce your breasts.
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah.
That's in the Bible somewhere?
Yeah, Old Testament.
Okay.
Yeah. Thou shalt not touch the fun bags, I think is the actual quote.
All right. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. That sounds like a good verse.
Boobs. Chris Angel's even creepier than we thought.
Excellent.
He is a douchebag of mythic proportions.
Absolutely.
But apparently, according to Fox News, he was hanging out with Gene Simmons recently.
Oh. Gene was probably trying to shake him, though, right?
No, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
These two guys deserve each other. Apparently, he told Gene that he thought Gene's daughter was attractive.
She is, but isn't she a little young for Chris Angel?
Chris Angel said to Gene, but I hear she's only 15. Gene said, no, it's okay, she's almost 16.
What?
He didn't say it's okay.
Gene replied, it's okay because she's almost 16. And proceeded to give her a rundown about what his daughter likes and doesn't like. Including the fact that she's 5'10" and she's excellent in martial arts and taekwondo.
Oh, okay. So
sounds like a warning.
Warning him off.
I think he warned him
Okay,
off.
Good.
She'll kick your ass.
Chris will turn 40 next month, by the way, and he was lusting after the 15-year-old daughter of Gene Simmons.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Stryker has a tail!
No, he doesn't have a tail.
Right.
Welcome to my nightmare.
And he's down with the DWTS?
DWTS.
Dancing with the Stars, come on.
No.
A lot of news coming out off that set. Apparently Cameron Matheson,
who is
one of the stars.
Okay. My wife was watching that show last night, and I walked in. I'm like, there was an interviewing a couple. I said, which one of those is the stars and which one of those is the dancers? You can't tell.
You shouldn't have to ask that question.
Cameron Matheson.
Is the star or is the dancer?
Is the star.
Is the star, okay.
Of All My Children.
Okay.
Right. And he says he has to suffer to look as good as he does, especially for the Dancing with the Stars show.
Yeah.
He has to suffer.
He tells Star Magazine that he has to have his wife pluck his nose hairs.
What? Oh, come on.
He says it makes him cry with pain and shatters his ego as well because he can't do it himself. That's your Dancing with the Stars news for today.
That is way too much information.
That's not news of any kind.
Who tells that to anyone, by the way?
Yeah.
Who does it, first of all?
First of all.
And then tells it.
I don't know. Number one show, though, in the country.
Yeah. That's what people are watching.
Yep.
Gay?
Yes.
Happy celebrity birthday to Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors. He is 39 years old today. If you ever get a chance, if you got the Netflix, dial up a movie called Safe Men. Did not do very well in the theaters, but it stars Steve Zahn and Sam Rockwell as a horrible accordion duet band.
Well, you're selling me
two musicians who get mistaken by the Rhode Island Mafia as safecrackers.
Okay.
Okay, I like it. I'm with you so far.
Wackiness ensues. It's a very funny, quirky little film, and I think you will enjoy it.
You know, I just watched Happy Texas over
Did
the
you?
weekend.
Another
A funny movie.
It's very funny as
really
well.
Yeah, really good.
About two convicts who end up being mistaken for pageant directors.
For little girls.
Yeah.
It's a very funny movie.
Wow.
Steve Zahn gets confused with a lot of different people, apparently, in his films. Neil Flynn, who plays janitor on Scrubs, he is 47 years old today. Very funny guy. Chris Noth,
Of course, Mr. Big on Sex and the City, also from Law & Order. That's where he got his big break. He is 51 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg turns 52. Joe Mantegna is 60 years old today. And Jimmy Kimmel. Aw. Sad to hear that theme now that Bob's gone. Bob Goulet, of course, who sings that, has passed away recently. Jimmy Kimmel turns 40 years old today. Of course, we send him our love. And Kevin was there in Vegas partying with Jimmy for his birthday. And
he's doing well.
Stone.
Me, not Jim.
That's what I mean.
Of course.
Yeah, Jimmy never touches this.
No.
Thing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening. Wow. Oh, coming out of that song like that.
Really?
Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. I'm so manly.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean K-Rock.
That's Muse on K-Rock. Don't forget, tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour, details on night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Yesterday, we announced night number 1. That features the band Linkin Park, also Angels and Airwaves, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion, Rise Against, Serj Tankian, and a band we're very excited that will be on the bill named Paramore.
Yeah.
And Josh and Haley from Paramore are here in the studio with us right now on the World Famous K-Rock. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey. Haley came in bouncing off the walls, just crazy. She must be doing meth or something. She is high as a kite.
Actually, we just woke her up to do the interview. Actually.
Yeah, sorry. Pretty much.
Quite tired. Sorry.
So the last time we saw you guys, you came in the morning and played for us, and that was, I think, within a few days of the L.A. Invasion concert that you guys were on.
Right.
And I suspect it's been mostly more of the same for you since we last saw you. Just nonstop, every day you get up, you play, you drive, you play, you drive, right?
It's craziness. Insanity. Yeah.
Keep track of everything? You know where you are? You just get pushed around like a zombie?
Sometimes we know where we are. We know where we are today.
Yeah, sure.
That's all that matters.
All right.
A lot of Paramore news stuff going on. You got a new version of your Riot album that's coming out. Now, what's this deal? Tell me how you're ripping off your fans now. Tell me how that works.
Before you answer that, I would like to just point out that Bean was complaining a second ago about bands that come out with new editions of the CD because you got to go out and buy them.
You got to go out and buy them if you really like the band. Yeah, but it kind of seems like maybe you're making it worthwhile because you're jam-packed with so much new stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a video interactive disc, and it's gonna be really cool. We're going to put it out, I guess, really soon. It's going to come out really soon, and Hot Topic's doing it. It's going to be sick. And basically, it's got everything from, you know, obviously the 11 tracks that were already on the record, some bonus tracks and demos and videos and karaoke. And
wow. Yeah.
Live videos, you know, from
playing shows and stuff.
Yeah, in London, I think.
Yeah.
So that's some cool footage. And then also, like, once you buy it, you can sign up online, and we'll send those kids a bunch of free stuff, like just more footage, more pictures, like just bonus features that you can't get if you don't have one.
Right.
Oh, all right.
Do you almost have to add something to it to get people to buy it these days, or how does that work?
I guess. I mean, we've wanted to put out something like this for a while because there's so much content that we have that, you know, just like really old stuff that we really want to get out there and have people see. So, I mean, we've got a lot of video to muddle through.
Right.
That's
a good way.
Yeah.
November 20th, by the way, I'm just finding out, is the limited edition MVI version of the Riot album. You also include, I guess there's software on there that you can make your own ringtones.
Yeah.
And remix songs, I guess. Also, and this has got to be weird, when you got the band going in Tennessee and you're playing, you're just trying to get your music in front of people, do you ever think that fast forward a year, you're going to be having to worry about things like making buddy icons to sell with a special edition of your album? I mean, that's got to be weird.
Yeah, it's...
Especially when it's pictures of you that you think look terrible.
Excellent. Good. Did the other band members just go, hey, let's use that one because it's embarrassing?
Just about.
Excellent. Yeah. That's good. That's the way we work things, too. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, where did you guys play over the weekend? You just played over the weekend, didn't you?
Wow, I forgot already.
Well, yes! Yeah.
Didn't Dave go see Dave go see the band and make a very interesting purchase? Where did he go, Mike? Do you remember where he saw?
They were in Anaheim and in Ventura.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know you're doing the Wiltern. That's sold out. The Wiltern is sold out tomorrow night. But our man Dave, the phone screener, who I'd like to ask to step in right now.
We need to take a break.
Oh.
We need to take a
show
break.
Off his thing?
No, we'll do it.
We'll show off his thing when we come back.
Oh, that didn't sound right. Sorry, Haley. Don't be nervous.
Paramore is here. We'll be right back. Dude, whatever happened to those guys? Huh? How about some new stuff from them?
Right in front of you, actually. Josh and Haley from the band Paramore are here this morning at the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they're playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is coming up December the 8th. That is called Crush, 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 which is right now in the top 10 over there on the TRL. Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us. Good morning, Dave.
What up?
Now, first of all, you and Psycho Mike are going to have some sort of a steel cage death match to win Haley at the end of the show.
Yeah,
is that the plan?
We're going to have to brawl.
Haley didn't realize that she's going to be forced to go home with one of you today. I don't know how that works. But you guys have made the decision that you'll accept nothing less.
Nothing less, yeah.
What did you buy at the Paramore show in Orange County over the weekend, Dave?
Well, you know, I wanted to buy a T-shirt, but apparently I'm too fat to fit into Paramore T-shirts.
Are all of your fans really thin, guys?
They're little teeny tiny fans, you know.
Well, wait a minute. What's the biggest size they had?
Medium.
Oh, I think we just sold out, man.
There's too many fat people.
He's too fat for Paramore.
I think Paramore hates the fat people. So
too fat for Paramore.
Yeah. So
then what are the other items that you have to choose from?
Well, there's a lot of items like a bag and other stuff. But what caught my eye, which I really love, as you guys know, mm-hmm. are the fingerless gloves.
Oh,
yeah. So I'm rocking the Paramore Riot Edition fingerless gloves.
Oh, no.
Rocking them right now. Rocking them all winter long.
Here's what we like about Dave is that he won't admit that he likes the fashion of the fingerless gloves. He says he gets them because it's cold.
Do you know how hard it is to get, like, reach in your wallet with regular gloves?
Yeah,
right? And then with the fingerless gloves.
What are you wearing gloves for? It's 70 degrees out, Dave.
It's 50 degrees where we sit. Where I sit, at least.
Dude, he's talking about wearing them here at work.
Yeah, that's it's cold.
When you have to, like, do you get the on the computer?
Here's the thing. Doesn't all the heat escape through your fingertips? Isn't that where a lot of heat comes?
No one's palm gets cold.
Right.
Yeah, but the fingerless gloves go all the way to the
back of my hand is freezing. I need that glove.
Fine.
Just say I like the way it looks on you.
And I like the way it looks on you.
Say it. All right.
I rock them good.
All right.
But let me ask Josh. Let me ask Josh and let me ask Haley. How did you guys, you're having a meeting about stuff you can sell. How did you even come up with fingerless Paramore gloves?
Riot Edition.
I mean, I don't know. A lot bands, I noticed bands doing it last year, but... I'm kind of the same way. For a while, I didn't want to admit that I liked them because I don't know, they're
gay.
But
you're not a race car driver, Haley. What do you ever need fingerless gloves for?
Dude,
everybody tries to say, they're important. I need them. Stop it.
I used to layer them. I used to wear black ones with purple ones underneath them, like the purple
now
was
Dave's
black.
The coolest. Yeah.
Black and purple.
Now Dave's the coolest.
So seen, man.
Wow. What other kind of stuff do you sell that's kind of out there? You have any other items that are kind of strike you as weird?
We had leggings last year.
Did
you
really?
The beginning of the year, yeah.
Dave, you buy those? Not too fat.
No.
Too fat.
Too fat for us. They have cool little dolls. I don't know if you were selling those, but you had them at the merch table.
A fan made those for us.
No way.
Yeah.
And was selling them?
No,
it was just like a display.
I see.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Those are really cool.
Dave also said at the show that he saw this weekend that Jeremy did a full backflip during the show.
No, front flip during a...
Front flip, sorry.
Yeah, during the LA Invasion, which was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen on the stage.
Well, it's not really a flip. It's what, he sort of cheats. Like, what I do is, like, I lean over and he sort of rolls off.
No, that was
back.
On Friday, but on the LA Invasion.
He's talking about the other one in pressure. He does two in pressure.
Oh, yeah. Sort of like, the 360, like.
He did something that was just crazy.
The guy does a front flip. It's not good enough for him.
Yeah, no.
That was key cheated. It wasn't a real front flip.
Come on. Yeah, it was amazing, though.
Yeah, Jeremy goes off with the flips, man.
Has he ever not landed it?
Yes. On Warped Tour, he was trying to be cool and, you know, did one flip, fell right on his face, tried to get up, the bass strap, like, wrapped around his neck and was choking him, and then he tried to redeem himself by jumping up on the monitor, and he just tripped on that and fell.
Oh, dear God. Was he bleeding by the time he came on stage?
No, but, good time.
Dude, just play your guitar!
Exactly.
Stop it!
That's what I tell him.
When you guys are at the night number one of the Acoustic Christmas, he'll have something to talk about with somebody else on the bill, because you know Chester from Linkin Park just broke his wrist jumping off of a speaker on a stage not too long ago.
Oh.
So there's a lot of danger in rock and roll, apparently, wasn't aware of.
I think you can see Chester's on YouTube. You can search for it. I think you see him tripping.
Awesome.
And he puts his hand out and breaks it like four songs into the show and then finishes.
He finished.
How much
that's
have you,
awesome.
How much or do you guys know some of these other – I mean, have you ever played shows with, you know, Bad Religion or with Avenged Sevenfold or any of those guys that are on the bill that night?
Oh, yeah.
We played
Warped
Tour.
You all go way back.
Warped Tour?
Yeah, with Bad Religion, but we don't really know them.
Yeah, we don't know them. They were so good. We actually – Avenged Sevenfold was on 2005 Warped Tour when we were like – on the little girly stage. Uh-huh. It was rad. We watched them.
Is it called the little girly stage?
Well.
Do you remember the name of it?
No.
Oh, good.
It's called the Sheer Girl stage.
Okay. Well, we couldn't be more excited to have you guys playing on that show. I think that's going to be a really special night there at the Gibson Amphitheater. I hope you guys are looking forward to it also.
Oh man, yes. We're stoked.
And, of course, sold out tomorrow night at the Wiltern, but I suspect that 2008 is going to be another huge year for Paramore. And don't forget the new special edition of Riot with all that cool stuff that we talked about comes out next Tuesday. November the 20th is the date on that.
Plus, get the fingerless gloves.
That's right. Get the fingerless gloves.
Which I'll be rocking at acoustic. So
I'm sure you will.
Oh,
I'm
dude,
sure
it's going to be awesome.
Are you announcing your wardrobe for
everybody,
acoustic?
I will be rocking the Paramore Riot Edition fingerless gloves at Acoustic Christmas.
That's right.
Night number one.
Boy, that was really gay.
All right, good.
So come and see him.
My Josh, Haley, thank you so much for coming in today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to tell you that Anna Faris, who I know we're all fans of, is one of those actresses that you can always tell is making interesting choices. You know, whether it's the scary movies or it's the Brokeback Mountain or it's the season of Entourage last year, she generally doesn't pick crappy stuff. And that's why this movie caught our attention. It is called Smiley Face, and it's the new pot classic for the new pot generation of the new pot world that we live in. I think the K-Rock audience will dig it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we welcome Anna Faris to the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Anna.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
So nice to talk to you. And I got to tell you, we loved your arc on Entourage this season. It must have been so weird playing yourself, though.
It was really weird because sometimes I they would write me lines and I would think, like, I wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very strange. And they had this, like, gorgeous, you know, $10 million home that I could never afford. And, it was really fun at the same time. It was great.
So you're driving out of your crappy condo in the valley or something on to film in the mansion on Entourage, and you're thinking my fake Anna Faris life is so much better than my real Anna Faris life.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this Smiley Face. And my God, what an unbelievable cast! But how did what's your deal in this movie? What fascinated you about playing stoned for 2 hours?
Well, it felt like the kind of role that guys always get to play, and I also, you know, she's such an unusual character. She's so weird and kind of smart and also incredibly clueless at the same time, and completely asexual. Like, her only passion in life is weed, and so I was really thrilled to be able to play this.
I'm not sure you can play asexual, by the way.
I don't think that's
possible.
It's so funny, Anna, that you would say that, because there's a scene in the movie, and I had a chance to see an early screening of this. There's a scene in the movie where one of the guys who comes over to your house, played by John Krasinski, by the way, who we all love from The Office, he's hot for you. He thinks you're so hot. And you do everything you can to be as unattractive as possible. You're all sprawled out, drooling on the couch, or you got zit cream all over your face or something like that. But he sees past that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Guys have that ability.
I don't know why.
For folks who haven't seen the movie, how do you explain to people just how unbelievably baked you are in this thing?
You
go beyond just being high.
Yeah, it's true. My character is smokes weed every day.
Right.
But then this particular day that the movie's set in, she sort of inadvertently eats. Well, she intentionally eats all her roommate's cupcakes, but she doesn't realize that they're all laced with pot.
They have pot in them, too.
Yeah. She eats like a dozen. So she gets stoned, and then she eats a dozen of these, you know, stoner, weed cupcakes.
Adam Brody plays with dreadlocks. By the way, Adam Brody from The O.C. plays your Rasta dealer. John Cho, who I think is Kumar, is in the movie. Danny Masterson is your roommate. I mean, it really does have a great cast. And Greg Araki, that's the guy's name. He's the guy who directed this too, right?
Yeah, he is amazing. It was great to be able to work with so many great young, funny people. It was awesome.
Now, you're a method actress, so you probably spent about 6 months getting baked every day in the morning.
I spent about 10 years.
10 years, okay.
I want to play a clip from the movie, Anna, of and I think this I think anything more than we can say on the radio, this clip from the actual film of your performance, I think, is going to give people an idea of your character, Jane. It's going to give people an idea of the pace of the movie. And Kevin, I think this is going to sound very, very familiar to you. I have a feeling this past weekend at Jimmy Kimmel's birthday party, I have a feeling you had thoughts much like this one. So listen up. Here's actress Anna Faris from the film Smiley Face. Opens up Friday at the Landmark New Art Theater.
When I get home, I'm going to frame a bunch of stuff I love. Like lasagna. I love lasagna. It's so good. And cheesy. You know who else loves lasagna? Garfield. Man, that cat really loves lasagna. Maybe I should put a picture of Garfield in a frame. You know, as a kind of shorthand way of saying, I love lasagna. That would be so f***ing inside. Or how about a photo of President Garfield? Oh, s***, that'd be totally meta. People would be all like, Jane, why do you have a photo of President Garfield on your mantle? And I'd be like, because I like lasagna, of course.
Have we been there, guys? Do we know where she's coming from? Have we heard those thoughts in our own heads?
Yeah, those thoughts were in my head Saturday night, oddly enough.
I see this movie, Anna, playing forever at midnight on Fridays, don't you?
Oh, gosh, I hope people enjoy it. I hope that that people go and see it. It's a small film, but I think it's pretty unique and pretty funny.
Now, this is opening at just in one place this Friday, right? The Landmark New Art?
Yes, yeah.
In West Los Angeles. And then I guess, depending on the attendance or whatever, they're going to roll it out, or?
Yeah, so hopefully people will come check it out.
That's a tough sell, though, going to our audience to try and find people who enjoy the pot. That's a reach for most of our listeners, but they'll try.
No, I think you came on the right show to get the word out about this one. It's called Smiley Face. Friday it opens at the Landmark New Art Theater in West Los Angeles. Anna, I was serious when we brought you on. We always enjoy the choices that you make, and this is another interesting one. So thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
How greedy can they get? They won't even share the internet.
Okay, well, I mean, that at least has a point to it, if that's one of the striker chants.
That's the latest striker chant I just got sent to me by one of our listeners who are keeping their ears open for me so I can keep you up to date. We'll have all the chants at the striker.
Striker has a tail!
It's
tail.
Not the same thing. It's a very different
striker. Striker.
All right. WGA in its second week of the strike, and yeah, so that's a good one. How greedy can they get?
Well, at least, yeah, there's
they won't
little
share
riot.
The internet.
Sure.
How about this one? We're here, we're writers, get used to it.
Yeah.
No.
No, not so much.
No, that's, no.
How about Lieutenant Dan, you have no legs?
The worst ever.
That doesn't the worst make one any yet. Sense.
What year did that movie come out?
I don't 94. Know.
94, maybe?
1994.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something a little more up to date.
That was outside the CSI New York shoot with Gary Sinise, who played Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump, a movie that's almost 20 years old.
Okay. So yeah. Writers need to hire some writers.
I think so. Maybe they could hire Chris Angel.
Oh, please.
This is a great email I got from listener Brett about a Chris Angel douchebag sighting.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Chris Angel is a douchebag. His email begins. Friday night, we attended the opening of the new Trader Vic's in Las Vegas. About 1 a.m., we were heading up the escalator inside Planet Hollywood to go to another bar when Ian Ziering from 90210 was coming down the escalator from the opening of Koi.
Okay.
My fiance, being drunk, looks up and says, "Look, it's Ian Ziering." Mildly excited. And then Chris Angel is exactly even with us. And she says in the same smile, "Hey, then look, it's Chris Angel." And he looks up. All stoked that some pretty girl says hi, but she continued her statement at that point saying, "Look, it's Chris Angel. He's a douchebag."
Fantastic.
Nicely done.
He immediately loses his smile and says, "Oh, look, it's a whore."
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Now, normally, I would want to smack someone like him in the mouth, but you could tell it was not his first time he'd been called a douchebag by some hot girl, so I kind of felt sorry for him.
Good work.
He looked like a pathetic piece of crap in some LeMay hat. He was wearing a LeMay hat.
He blank monkey blank. So I won't finish that part. But yeah. That's
he
from
has
Mr.
to
Bro
know
at
right
this
into
point.
The douchebag. He has to know that everyone calls him a douchebag, right? I mean,
I hope so.
Everyone calls him.
He's
that
learning
now.
It.
I hope we can make his life a living hell.
Oh have yeah, you look, you're a whore.
Have you seen what he wears even on Phenomenon, even when he's not just out in public and not expecting to be photographed? On television, on purpose, have you seen the stuff that that guy wears on TV?
Yes. Yes, he's a douchebag.
Yes, in every way.
David King of Mexico is happy. Star Magazine report is reporting that Kristen Bell, star of Veronica Mars and, of course, now Heroes, has officially split up with her producer boyfriend, Kevin Mann.
Oh, Dave, you gonna get her?
I'm just rad.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Why you
that
have control?
Sense. It didn't make sense.
You have control of the answer. Why not ask a question that the answer would be appropriate?
Let me try it again. Okay, Dave. Why are you going to get her now?
I'm just rad.
No,
it's bad, but at least it makes some sense.
All right, let me work on that. I'll get back to you. Go ahead.
I would say, Dave, if blue is the cold feeling you have towards Kristen Bell, and orange is really hot, how do you feel towards Kristen Bell?
I'm in love with my mattress.
No, that didn't work.
No?
We'll work on it.
We got some work to do. How does Kristen stay out of the tabloids, by the way? How does she keep her personal life so personal?
I have no answer for that.
She doesn't go out to clubs.
Why
is
the dollar so low compared to the euro?
I don't know. What the hell?
Why don't you worry about getting the orange clip going for me instead and less questions about her personal life?
She's a big star, and she's, you know, attractive young woman. You'd think that they would be, you know, be stalkerazzi after her, but she manages to maintain that low profile. It's just very impressive. Most stars don't seem to be able to do that these days.
Moving on.
That's all I'm saying.
Point well taken.
Daily Variety reports that the FX cable network has picked up their critically acclaimed series starring Glenn Close, Damages, for two more seasons.
That's
game and order for two.
Unusual.
Wow. I think just find somebody to write it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Shape.
Stroke victim.
I have stroke.
Orange. The E! Network has announced they've okayed a second season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Nope.
So we can get to see that again.
Nope.
What if you did the show in the nude?
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Then we'd watch,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Dave, you watched that, right? Well, how come?
I'm just rad.
Nice.
Did that work?
Nice. That was strong.
A little better. All
very
right.
Well done.
Making progress. By the time this hits the air, this is going to be good. Polished.
What color negligee would you like to see Kim Kardashian in, Dave?
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
Now you're just being a dick. The Thomas Crown Affair 2 has been announced. They're making a sequel to the popular Pierce Brosnan movie.
I love
that movie, too.
That
I'm really looking
movie.
Forward to this. Daily Variety has announced that Pierce Brosnan will return as Thomas Crown. However, Rene Russo will not be back as his love interest. Instead, they will cast a new love interest. It's going to be like Bond. He'll get a new one from Julie.
Each movie.
But he's great. Looking forward to that. And more movie news. Have you heard about the movie The Wrestler?
No.
It was about an aging pro wrestler who has a heart attack in the ring, and the doctor tells him he can't wrestle again. But until a rematch with his old nemesis, the Ayatollah, comes up, and he has to rise to the occasion.
Okay, is this a real movie?
A real movie,
okay.
Yes. Nicolas Cage was set to star.
What? Yes.
But he has since backed out of the project and has been replaced by...
Yes.
Yes.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh,
what?
My...
Yeah!
Serious.
Are you
Mickey
kidding?
Rourke stars as the wrestler. Coming to a theater near you.
Isn't he a little old to be playing the wrestler?
And scrawny and drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we have that to look forward to.
Wow. Saw the commercial last night during Heroes for National Treasure 2.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Couldn't help but remember how much you enjoyed the first.
Oh, I'm more of a Mount Rushmore protector.
Oh, that movie's going to be unbelievable.
This is the one where they kidnap the president because the president knows stuff, right?
Yes.
I'm more of a president protector.
Awesome. His relatives killed, I don't know, President Lincoln or something, and there's the Book of Secrets that only the presidents have, so he wants to kidnap the president. It just looks unbelievably
looks
bad.
Spectacular, just like the first. Cannot
yes.
wait.
That's correct.
Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Zahn. You know him. Great actor. 39 years old today. Neil Flynn, who plays janitor on Scrubs, is 47. Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City, and also CSI. No. Law and Order. Mm-hmm. Law and Order, he was on. 51 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg turns 52. She, of course, is currently on The View. Joe Mantegna, Very talented actor, is 60 years old today. And Jimmy Kimmel, our old pal Jimmy Kimmel, celebrates his 40th birthday today. Happy birthday, Jims. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
And for all the callers today at 1-800-520-1067, we have tickets for the new Warren Miller film. It is called Playground, and it shows December 4th in Santa Monica.
Monica!
A little slow.
Wow.
A little slow.
Wow. Is Mike already on a plane hitting out of here,
That one's new, dude. I'm sorry.
A little slow.
Plus a pair of passes to the Ski Dazzle coming up at the L.A. Convention Center November 29th through December 2nd. So that's what you get for being on the air with us. Where do you want to start today?
Let's start with Tommy in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May. What's happening?
Hello, Tommy.
What'd it do?
Check this out. I'm wondering this. I'm wondering about this writer strike. What's stopping talented writers out there in Southern California from saying, well, screw those guys on strike. I'm a talented writer. I'll email these directors or, you know, these producers of shows for half the price.
I think talented writers belong to the guild already. If you're talented, you've gotten work.
And if you're not talented, like...
Well, Tommy, are you doing that? Is that what you're telling us?
I'm not doing it. Me and my roommates were talking, like, what's stopping the, you know... Because there's a lot of dorks out there that write movies and... You know,
Tommy,
I think
there's also some short-sightedness involved in being a scab. If you want to have a career in an industry, do you want to immediately, the first thing you do, alienate yourself from everybody else in your profession?
Yeah, but what's stopping these guys from, like, emailing, like, anonymously? Like, hey, man, give me, like, half the money and... You know,
just drop it in a bag, put some cash in a brown bag at a park.
Here's the funny thing there. I've been guild writers who are writing scripts. This is happening mostly for soap operas. Writing scripts from their homes and then dropping them off for producers like in trash cans and back alleys behind the studios and stuff. And that's how they're delivering the scripts without having to cross the picket lines. They're doing it under the radar. But if you're a scab writer, you may work for 3 or 4 months, however long this strike lasts. But once it goes back to... business as usual, not only will you be out of a job because they'll hire the guild writers back, but then the guild will never let you get into the union. You'll never be a working writer.
Right. So. Well, it's not me.
Of course not. I mean, it's your friend's brother's
friend. Yeah. Your friend. Right. Yeah. I understand.
No worries. Thank you for the call.
The Writers Guild, most unions, can't you just pay the dues and you're in, Ralph? You actually have to get accepted into the Writers Guild?
Most unions, you can't just join if you want to.
Most unions have a catch-22 sort of situation where you need a union work before you can get into the union, which is hard.
I also think his assumption that there are a bunch of people out there who can write really great scripts, I don't think that's true.
No. Even the people in the guild can't write really great scripts.
that's
Kevin,
a tough thing.
You may need to finish your screenplay if this strike goes on much longer, by the way. I know you've got that sitting in your desk at home. It may be time to pull that one out and blow the dust off of it.
We don't have that kind of time. I smoked that last weekend. Scott in Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, party people? How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, this is for Kevin. I wanted to see, did you go to the Kings game on Saturday?
No, I wish.
You didn't go?
Actually, I wish I would have gone just to the third period, but not to the first and second periods.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it's kind of funny. It was a sold-out crowd, but probably by the end of the third period, there's maybe half of the crowd was actually still there when we started our comeback.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't see, Dallas was ahead 4-0 at the end of the second period. And then the Kings came back and scored 5, and then they ended up winning 6-5 in overtime. And they scored all their goals in like 14 seconds.
Oh,
it was just bizarre.
It was the most amount of goals in the shortest amount of time in team history.
But the problem with a game like that is period one and period two are so frustrating. You're miserable. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they come back and do it. I remember being at the Laker game when they played, was it Portland, when they came back in the fourth quarter?
Oh, yeah. That was 2000, I think, the Western Conference Championship.
I've never been more miserable than the first three quarters. You're just sitting there going, wow, this sucks.
That's what makes it all that much more exciting.
That's what makes it so much better, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Kings, I just looked it up. The Kings scored 5 goals in 5 minutes and 7 seconds during the third period.
Wow.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
Gosh.
That's target practice is what that is.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Eric, who is calling from Huntington Park. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, man, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Lisa May, what's up, baby girl?
Hey, Eric.
Mac Daddy Eric.
Okay, easy, Eric.
All right, so I'm like the biggest Green Bay Packer fan, you know, right?
Okay.
And I bought a Green Bay Packer jersey, Brett Favre, like a couple of months ago.
Did he sign it?
No, well, I bought it at a sports collector's place called Frankincense. And, I bought it for like $300, whatever. It was signed by Brett Favre.
Right.
So I had it in my room, you know, hung up in the closet, whatever. And my mom comes over, you know, she's, you know, picking up clothes to do laundry. You know?
Oh.
Yeah, she still do that.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
Uh-oh.
She saw the jersey, right? She doesn't know any of that stuff. She figured, oh, it's all tagged up, whatever.
Somebody wrote on this jersey. She was probably angry. How rude. What a...
So she took it. She washed it. She brought it back to me. I was like, with my jaw dropped, like, oh, man.
Was the signature gone?
It was all faded. And she's like, I couldn't get it off.
Sounds like,
you know?
It matches you, by the way.
He's
like, kind of faded.
Signature off, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know?
Bet you were. Wow. Hey, Eric, what an amazing ability you have to take a really interesting story that I think a lot of our listeners would enjoy and just make it unlistable. I mean, really, congratulations on that.
What a Psycho Mike's disciples right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Come on, you can feel that guy's pain. His mom washed it out.
Good content. I mean, I'm invested in the idea of what happened, but wow, he deserved it.
All right, let's go to...
exciting story.
Blanca in Irvine.
Oh, Blanca.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. What'd it do?
Hi, Blanca.
May.
Hello.
I was listening to the radio, and I heard Boy George was just released on bail because he handcuffed a male escort and wouldn't let him leave. Handcuffed him to a wall.
Yeah, this story is old. This happened a while ago, but he finally got sentenced.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. What, he asked a hooker over something?
Yeah, remember the male escort broke free from his house and was running in the streets in his underwear saying,
that's
Boy
right.
George had me held against my will. And so
yeah, had him handcuffed to a wall.
Yeah. And what was the punishment?
I didn't read the rest of the story. I just read.
They said he was out on bail. I guess he's supposed to go back.
Wow.
For punishment, but isn't that nice?
He'll like it. He'll like the punishment. All right, thank you for the call.
A lot of that going around. I went to see that P2 movie over the weekend with Rachel Nichols, and she gets drugged and then handcuffed to the table, so she can't move either. That apparently is the hot new way to date, I guess.
I don't think so, actually.
I plan to try it, I'll tell you that.
A movie. Frank in Northridge, get that phone, would you?
Put us on hold.
Hello?
Frank, put us on hold.
What did you do, Frank?
Sorry. Good music, Frank.
It's all right. If you need to put us on hold at any point to do your job, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on?
Turns out Chris Angel is not only a douchebag, but also a pedophile.
Allegedly.
Allegedly,
sorry.
What are you talking about? What do you know?
Gene Simmons has an interview show, and I guess Chris Angel was making some comments about Gene Simmons' 15-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we
now, it doesn't
that.
Make you a pedophile to talk about them, by the way. That's not the definition of a pedophile.
Just makes you creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes you creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, close enough.
That's
I guess
ugly.
Gene Simmons tried to play it off by saying that she's 5'10 and knows kickboxing.
I sure hope that phone that you're not answering is important.
I think it's a 911 operator.
Oh, okay. Not at all.
It's Gene. It's Gene Simmons. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. Gene, what about the guys who are like you and want to date every young woman out there? I mean, you got to understand where they're coming from. You've done it.
The young ladies are actually reserved for sultry and romantic young men like me. It's funny that you said Chris Angel, because he was actually teaching me a magic trick, Lisa May.
Really?
Yes. I make my fist disappear. Would you like to see?
Oh, ow.
That is beyond gross.
With you.
So not
well, what are you thinking about?
That is not sexy.
Lisa, you have a dirty mind.
What are you thinking
it's
about?
It's not dirty. It's a top hat.
Right.
It's a top hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
He was pulling his fist out of a top hat.
So the kids are calling fist me.
Days. Oh, come
happening.
On.
Stop.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Brandon Flowers from the band The Killers. The new album in stores available for download as well today is called Sawdust. Go to thekillersmusic.com for details on that.
Fist me.
Also, thanks to Paramore for joining us, too. They're album Riot is out, as you know, and they got a new special edition of it with lots of cool new stuff available next Tuesday, November the 20th. Of course, they're sold out at the Wiltern tomorrow night.
Fist me.
And thanks to actress Anna Faris for joining us, too. Her new film just shows at one theater starting this Friday, but you ought to check it out. If you're one of Eric's people, the caller that we just had a few moments ago, then you will love this movie. It is called Smiley Face at the Landmark New Art Theater in West L.A.
Fist me.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, Heidi Klum.
Oh!
Really?
Yes.
Heidi Klum.
I saw a video of her on the TV last night. It was a runway show that she had done when she was 18 years old. So that's a number of years ago. So much hotter today than she was when she was 18. I don't know what she's got going on, but she just gets more beautiful every year.
Deal with the devil.
She had a couple of kids, too.
And she's had a bunch of kids, yeah.
She sold her soul. That's what happens.
It does.
I don't think I mentioned Heidi Klum yet. She's tomorrow. We have Heidi Klum on the program.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. We have a band in studio to perform live. Feist.
Are we not allowed to say? We can say.
Yeah, we can say,
he
sure.
He's being cagey.
Of course.
Feist will be here. We have two bands tomorrow. Feist will be here. Of course, you know them. You love them from the 1-2-3-4 song. And also our old friend Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine are back with a new album of TV themes that's available this week. And they're going to be in to perform live as well.
Partay. Plus, don't forget, at 7:15 tomorrow morning, details on K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, night number 2.
Orange?
No. I don't know what that means.
No, Dave. Kat Corbett's next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. How about The Offspring? How about Pepper's Give It Up? Foo Fighters, Killers, new music from Bad Religion. We got some Nirvana and The Bravery. All straight ahead right here on K-Rock.